Twiskers.
Yeah. Welcome to the Late Late Show. I'm AJ Twist.
I'm T, and we're back with a new episode. This is episode 323, and this is the Camerupt episode.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
He is the Eruption Pokemon.
Oh, like Snoop Dogg.
Yes. Have you seen him playing video games lately?
Oh, I think, wasn't he Twitch, like, doing Twitch shit,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, he was doing Twitch. He was casting. And what was he playing? He was playing Pokemon...
no way.
Diamond... Brilliant Diamond?
Oh, shit, okay.
Man, and he was in this gym battle. Cynthia?
Cynthia's the fucking Poke League.
No, I think he was fighting a gym leader. May I have the wrong name? He was fighting a gym leader... And it's just like him getting real close to being her, and then she fucking just knocks out his last three Pokemon in one hit, and he's like, fuck! He's just so mad. This is some bullshit. Like, it's so funny. I wish I should have brought it on here and showed it to you.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
You could probably find it pretty quick on YouTube.
Maybe I can get some tips from, you know.
No, you don't need tips from Snoop Dogg. He's not doing so great.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, if he's getting knocked out by one Pokemon back to back like that.
I mean, I almost wish it was the Johto one so I would know the reference. I remember, like, it makes me think of that Miltank trainer.
Yeah. Oh,
fucking bitch. I'll never forget that bitch. That bitch ruined my life for
freaking
like a
Whitney.
Month. Whitney, yeah. Snoop was pissed, dude. It's like getting knocked out. But anyway, yeah, if you couldn't tell by that conversation, this is a podcast about anime, movies, comics, nerd stuff, video games,
yeah,
all that.
That's right.
And yeah, don't forget, you can subscribe, follow us on Apple Podcast.
Come back.
Stitcher. That didn't help. Stitcher, Spotify, everything. Yeah, we're available on most things.
Yes. Okay.
Nice. Collision28.com is our main website.
If I scream into it, it comes back sometime, which is weird.
Maybe I should have that mic then, huh?
Test.
Wow. I know, really?
I know, right? I got this. I can scream into it this whole...
Can't. Oh, what the fuck!
All right, so that being said, let's jump into a focus weeks.
All right,
AJ, what did you do for your
while
focus
I'm working,
week?
Right?
Or I'll go first then.
Oh no, I'll go first because it's fresh in my mind. So I've been watching this anime called My Hero Academia. I'm not sure if you heard of it before.
Never. Go on.
It's interesting. It's about school and these kids going to school and shit. And they be going to school pretty well. What is that? Oh, and it's this.
Oh, okay.
and this is what's missing. There we go. There's the color I'm looking for. I'm like in the third season now, I think. I think I just started the fourth season, I think. Have you seen it?
Yeah, well, what's going on in your season? Because I don't know.
They are starting a whole new thing with a bunch of different schools going to like this big type of tournament thing right now.
Yeah, I'm past that.
You're past that already. Yeah, so that's what's happening right now. They just got there, and the first round just finished. They're currently about to do rescue missions.
Do you know about Midoriya's new style yet?
Yes, he's kicking shit right now.
Yeah, that's right. Full of kicking shit now.
Yeah.
Shoot
stuff. Which means... Spoilers for anyone who hasn't watched My Hero yet. What's his name? All Might is like technically no longer All Might.
Yeah. How crazy was that fucking last moment where he like finally did his last shit?
Yeah, that was kind of crazy because he just like he lost his power, but then he still like had a little bit left, and he kind of like, I like how he moved it from one arm to the other arm real quick.
Yeah, like so that way he kept the same power out of everything. I was like, damn, this fool is wild.
And then he did the full max power and shit like that. Yeah, that was crazy. And then I was realizing, too, like, after, like, shit was, like, shit's kind of a little political here and there.
There's moments, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with the fucking, the hero killer, when he had his old thing, he got captured.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of political.
And he starts just yelling shit, and then, like, all these villains are like, that's a good fucking point, you know, and now the villains are, like, gathering up together now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy. Lots to pay attention to. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. So.
It's going to get better. I think I'm like one season ahead of you. Maybe like one and a half seasons ahead of you. You're in a good spot right now. It's just pretty cool to see like how much they're really in danger when they face the supervillains. That's what I really like about it. Like,
yeah,
like they really don't have a chance against those fools. You know, I like that.
In a way right now, I'm kind of liking this a little bit better than Hunter x Hunter.
What?
I feel like Hunter like kind of rushed a little bit too quickly in the beginning. Because they had their hunter exam right away, and then they're already out in the world by themselves. and then they had to fucking learn shit on their own. But here you get to kind of, you get to grow with them through school, and then they have some issues, and like, and they grow again, and some, and they grow. So, but I don't know, Hunter x Hunter, I feel like things just fucking happen too quickly, and then they had to like, I don't know, like somehow backtrack in a way. I don't know. It's just,
I don't agree.
I feel like it just went too fast sometimes when they shouldn't have just taken their time.
I don't know. I guess I could see what you're saying, and some of that might come from the fact that there was a previous anime for Hunter x Hunter, and maybe they did, like, you know, and that took 100 episodes to tell, like, one third of the story.
Oh.
So maybe they didn't want to fucking
like
take their time like
a
that.
A Brotherhood fucking Full Metal type of situation.
But I'm surprised that you would complain more about that than Brotherhood, because it's way more smooth than Brotherhood. Like, Brotherhood was was really fucking fast to me. Like, the first, like, 5 episodes covered, like, a whole season of...
But I'm okay with that because I saw the original Full Metal, and I knew what was rushed, and I was okay with that.
Yeah, no, I kind of like the pacing of Hunter x Hunter, because honestly, if they took their time and showed me everything, I think it'd be really fucking boring. Because, like, I'm assuming you're referring to how we don't really see Leorio and Kurapika's training, and, like, how they just...
Yeah, that too.
Go straight to Gon and Killua. And,
yeah.
Because they show every step for Gon and Killua, so feel like they're... But I'm guessing you're talking about them. And
I'd rather have them learn that, like, in a school or somewhere safer, because you're just fucking worried for them, like, half the time, you know?
I like that. I prefer that. Like, honestly, it makes it have stakes. That's why I love Hunter, because there's stakes. Like, they're always in danger, and that makes Hunters sound tougher than AU superheroes to me, because Hunters, if you can't make it before you fucking learn Nin... Too bad, you're dead, and they don't need you.
That's like, why it's so scary.
I like that. I know. I like that, because I'm like, that shows how high caliber the Hunters have to be to survive. You know, like,
and then like, well, I guess, yeah, you know.
But I do see your point, though. Like, it does. There's things that you don't see that you kind of wish they would flesh out more.
Yeah, exactly. Like, especially like certain villains, like out of nowhere, you just realize, oh fuck, people could just have random powers, and like, I didn't realize that was gonna be a thing. Like the craziness people can have with their powers. But like in freaking My Hero, like you meet all these people with different powers, like freaking every time, and you start off with a fucking whole class that has all different unique abilities and stuff like that.
Well, see, I
feel like they introduce you to the world better in My Hero than they did in Hunter x Hunter. I think that's what it is.
I could agree to a point, but the only reason I disagree is because Hunter x Hunter's power system. There is no power system in My Hero Academia.
At least not yet. No,
there's no energy system. So like. There's nothing for them to explain to you. So I don't think it's fair to compare them. When Hunter x Hunter's whole thing is like, there's this power system that you basically have to be a fucking monk or a UFC fighter to be able to get. And, you know, I think that's way more compelling because they had to work for that power. Like, every character you see in Hunter, even the weakest ones, they all fucking did the training.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, to get that base level of, like, so they can be creative with their nin and stuff.
Right.
So, like, even when you see the weakest fools, they can still take fools down hand to hand. I feel like you don't really get that so much in My Hero Academia. Some people just have power.
Yeah, and that's true.
And you're like, I feel like it makes the supervillains slightly less compelling. But I do know what you mean. Like, for the heroes, it's good because you get to really see their development and growth. But I feel like it fucks with their villains in My Hero Academia because, like, that's just their power. Like, they never had no training. They just got it. They start using it, and they started figuring it out because they were using it all the time.
Yeah,
so,
I guess so. Yeah.
So it's give and take.
There's different, I guess there's a balance there somehow.
Yeah, but you know, I feel you though. I see your point. That's true. The heroes are a little bit more fleshed out in My Hero Academia.
But I definitely like all the characters. Like I feel like I introduced some more, and I feel like I have more variety about who should I like. I like this character. You know?
Did you pick a favorite yet? I remember you didn't have one last week.
I like Homegirl.
Actually, you did have it. The creator?
Yeah, the creation. I don't think I had that last week, but I figured it out like just recently because the episode I watched, they were training against teachers. There was like a final exam.
That was cool.
Where they had to fight teachers.
Yeah.
And then her name is Momo. I forget her last name, but her first name is Momo.
Oh, can I say their superhero names are stupid as shit sometimes?
Some of them are, yeah.
Oh, man, that's the one thing that's wrong with that shit.
I liked her nickname, though. She came up with, like, Createy or something like that. It was something like Create. I forgot her name. It doesn't come up too often. Mm. That's the thing, though.
That's the other weird thing about the names, huh? They don't come up that often.
They don't come up often at all. So, like, after they, like, made up their own names, it hasn't really come up yet.
You know, I feel like, now that you point that out, I feel like that'll come up more when they become solo heroes. Probably, because yeah. then people, because right now they're only really dealing with their peers, mm-hmm. so they know their name.
Yeah,
so maybe
yeah.
like as they fight more villains, they'll
and become more public and stuff like that. Yeah, right now they're not too public, other than you know, the TV shit they've been doing and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, so like I kind of want to remember. Only one I can remember is Froppy. Froppy?
Yeah, the frog girl.
Yeah, yeah,
she's dope.
Yeah, I like her too, but like I always, not as much.
Before you watch the show, I always thought that that was gonna be your favorite character.
Not my favorite, no.
No, I'm just saying, before you watched it, like, yeah, before you had ever seen it in my mind, I always thought that that was going to be your favorite character. Mm. So it's funny to me, it was someone totally fucking different. Like, that's cool.
No, yeah, because she's a 3D printer, dude. That's why I like her. She's a fucking 3D printer.
That's her superpower, 3D
yeah,
printing.
Momo's a 3D printer.
That's funny.
No, but what really made me like her a lot, though, was when she's fighting against teachers, and then she fucking...
For those just jumping in, we are talking about My Hero Academia. Yes. He is on season 3 of the anime.
Yeah, but I'm talking about season 2, I guess. But she was down on herself, and then she has like, a little pep talk, and then she was like, okay, I'm fucking smart. What am I doing here, right? And then she fucking explains, like, oh, are you familiar with this chemical, this type of metal, you know? And the teacher's like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. And she throws this ribbon at him. And she's like, well, it's a type of metal that when you heat it up, it retains its original form all of a sudden. So it could be like whatever, but as soon as it gets hot, it retains its form. And so she captured him by doing that and having Homeboy with the hot ice powers fucking light up the thing. And then it's contrained itself and became like a fucking wrap that wrapped up the teacher and shit like that. And he's like, whoa, fuck. Like, I didn't see that shit coming. But like that moment was fucking dope, though. And the fact that she has to know how, like,
elements work
and shit works. Just recently, she fucking had to make a power amp, and she had a book. I was wondering what that book was
for. I remember that.
And she finally pulled out the book. She's like, okay, how do you make this shit? She's like, okay, it's pretty simple. I think I understand it. I think I can make this shit.
Yeah.
And then she made it. But, like, the fact that she has to know how shit works like that, no chemistry and all that, is, I think it's pretty dope.
I remember I thought that was tight too when they showed that, like, she has, because she makes things based on how much mass she has,
and that too, yeah, like she can only go so far just based off her own, like, her own body power and all her own skin, her lipids,
yeah,
again, the proteins and just chemicals again within her own body, you have to know too.
Yeah, and I like that, like, so she sacrifices some of her creation mass so mm-hmm. she can have that book with her all the time. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, that way she knows what she's making. So she has less mass to work with, but she can make better shit now because mm-hmm. she knows and she can reference that. Yeah, I like yeah, that too. Yeah, that's, I like really that cool. too.
And the other thing is, this episode, or the episode I'm talking about where she made that amp, also kind of proved her IQ is pretty high, because she is against this other trick from a different school whose power is to increase her IQ by drinking tea, which is kind of crazy.
Huh, I don't remember that power.
Yeah, that's why she had to create that amp, because she figured out they're planning all this out. They trapped us in a way where I need to use all my powers just to save us. But they are aware of that. They set us up. I need to think my way out of this shit.
Because
the only easy way I can think of right now is probably what they already thought of.
And like making a bomb or something to blow this away. And then, but they're like, the way to do this is to find out. I get what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, okay. I remember now.
So the way they got trapped was like just everything was just she can tell like everything was calculated. Like, why did this happen? They knew this was going to happen. They would lead to this, which would make me do this.
And it's because that one girl had a high IQ, so she was predicting things.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. She knew exactly who they were, what their powers were, and she was able to plot out exactly what they were going to do to get out of the situation. But then she outthought it. And so, like, that just kind of proves that her IQ is probably a little bit higher than the fucking girl who can manipulate her own IQ, right?
Damn, that's crazy.
So, so that just made me like her a little bit more there. She's one of my favorites right now. And then, yeah, she's also the one that went out and went to go rescue Bakugo and shit like that, too. She was behind that as well. She made that tracker. That was pretty dope, right? So, I don't know. She's kind of crazy right now. So, she's kind of my favorite right now. And then, yeah, like, all the other characters are pretty dope. I don't have any beef. Some of them are like, whatever, but like, you know, like Frog Chick and freaking Bakugo's kind of crazy. He's fucking smart too. He doesn't like look like it. He doesn't act like it, but he's fucking calculating sometimes too, yeah, which is fucking crazy.
I like that about his character. Like, they really set you up to think that he's a hothead powerhouse, but like, no, he thinks about shit. Like, I like that too.
Yeah.
You know, my secret, who I think the sleeper character that's real dope is the chick with the plug-in headphones.
Yeah, yeah.
I also thought she might be one of your favorites, so it's funny she wasn't. But yeah.
She's kinda weird.
I feel like she's I feel like she's secretly super dope. Like,
mm-hmm.
maybe you have to get a little bit further to kind of feel what I'm feeling, but like she can do a lot of crazy shit that I would not have imagined when she first came into the series.
Oh. My other favorite character is a side character, the bitch who creates shit.
No,
the one that actually makes shit.
Oh, like
she creates weapons.
The weapon creator. Yeah, that's right. She's dope. She makes stuff for their suit to like facilitate their powers and shit.
Yeah.
She's what made me go. She changed my opinion about a character that I didn't like into my favorite character.
Which one's that?
Kaminari, the lightning guy.
Yeah, which I just saw him use this shit right now.
Yeah, because the new shit she gave him, I was like, that's dope. Yeah. I'm like, now I see how your power can be sick. Like,
yeah.
Because before I was like, that's cool, but his power actually works how lightning would work. I think I talked about this last podcast, that he can't really direct it. It turns on, and he shocks you if you're near him or whatever. Yeah. But she gives him things to kind of make it work better. Like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
To control it in a way, yeah. So, yeah, I like that about her. Like, they'll think of an idea, and she'll make it, and she just has all these fucking random ideas. And, like, everyone's, like, afraid of her. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? But, like, I get her, though. I get it. Like, I understand you. I would make some crazy-ass shit that no one would understand, too.
Right.
So those are kind of my favorite characters right now. So I'm enjoying that. I'll continue watching it, so... I don't know. I'll be done with it. Maybe in a couple months.
Took this from this stayed at home, but AJ took it from my control.
Yeah, I had to make sure, you know, I recovered T's fuck up because he forgot to bring the hammer last week. So I had to win it to make up for the fact that he left it here at home. So, you know.
You could have just let me win and it would have been fine. That's okay.
No, you got to earn it. So we played some Soul and I just stung Mina it up. Until someone tried to get sneaky and tried to use some Astroth, and I was like, all right, isn't face of Talon then, you know? I was trying to hold Talon back this week, but, you know, people forced my hand and shit, you know? Other than that, I was able to sneak into the comic store real quick and pick up my Sonic comics, fucking, like, 7 issues fucking back, so I'm like, oh, shit, I got some shit to read. I don't even know what I have yet. I just fucking grabbed it and took off. And then that's about it. Really, I got nothing else, really.
All right, for my Unfocused Week, I've been tweaking my red deck, tweaking my blue deck. I'm sorry, my red deck and my purple deck. So for Digimon, I've been hunting down the damn collector's gift box. The Digimon gift boxes, which has been released in North America last week on the 17th, I think. And fucking, I couldn't find it anywhere. Turns out it's online only. If you want to buy it.
And only from, like, Target or Walmart.
Target,
or like
Walmart,
that, right?
And GameStop. That's it. Only places that have it. And, you know, I knew that. So I was calling the places and asking them. And two different, you know, GameStop and Walmart both told me, it's in our system, but we don't have it here. So I'm guessing we're sold out. And the more research I did, I'm like, you're not sold out. You don't get it. You don't get it physically. Like, you've never gotten it. You're not sold out. You know what I mean? Like... And guess what? Now online sold out, so I can't fucking buy the gift boxes.
Damn.
So I'm waiting till January 7th anyway, I guess, to get the actual box.
When the actual box drops,
so fucking annoying. I was trying to avoid that, but it's fine. I was hunting down Digimon gift boxes. It didn't work out so well. Other things I did, I got a Christmas present from Chris. It's connecting to the whole Siege storyline where Norman Osborn uses the Dark Avengers to take over the fucking government and shit.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, he gave me comics that connect to that story. I haven't read them yet, but it's pretty cool stuff. If anyone doesn't know, that's kind of where the Marvel Universe is heading in the movies and shows right now. They're slowly getting to that. So I think it's a good idea to read Siege if anyone's never read Siege or Dark Avengers, you know. Other stuff. I've been... We had the tournament. I lost that... AJ got the hammer. What else? I've been playing Lost Platoon, getting to S rank for everything. You know, always, I can never get all 4 fucking categories in S. That's what I'm trying to get, all 4 categories in S.
Yeah, I think so. It's still
A+S,
one down, too.
A+S. I need all 4 to be S to really feel comfortable, and I feel like I'll get better then, like, but I don't know. That's what I'm working towards in Splatoon. I'm really hyped for Splatoon 3, because testing my skills in an old game, I'd rather, like, try to put my old skills in a new game just to see what's up, but, you know, it's not out yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, waiting on that. Other thing, I think that's about it. Saw Spider-Man, which we'll talk about that. We're about to go into
that.
That's
right.
Saw the ending of Hawkeye. That was great. We'll go into that, too. Mm-hmm. I've been watching Stargirl Season 2. I'm, like, 4 episodes in. That shit's fucking great. It's just almost as good as Season 1. It's still good. I just feel like there's a little bit more setup going on here because there's a more complicated villain. But it's really good, though. Really good. I like Stargirl Season 2. I think that basically covers my Unfocused Week. Getting in the holiday spirit by watching Krampus, which is a horror Christmas movie.
Okay.
If anyone doesn't know the legend of Krampus, that's a real thing. It's like a demon from old Christian culture that if kids are bad, if you're good, Santa comes, brings you a present. If you're bad, Krampus comes at night and takes you away and fucking punishes you all night.
Well, that sounds wrong.
Yeah, he just fucking beats you with the fuck. He puts kids in a bag behind his back and fucking hits them and beats them with some shit. Like, he's a big ass scary looking monster too. So it's like fucking terrifying.
What they call the mirror Scott Pilgrim?
The Dark Scott.
Nega
Scott?
Nega Santa Claus.
This fool's Nega Santa for sure. That's what he is. It's fucking terrifying. Actually, I'm like, damn. If I saw this when I was, if I knew about this legend when I was a kid, I would have never fucking been bad at all.
Right.
So I guess that basically.
I think I got to repopulate that into the culture and shit, you know, so these kids know. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, you don't know about Nega Santa? I don't know, what do you call him? Krampus?
Krampus, yeah. You can say, like, in some universes, they call him Nega Santa. Yeah. He goes by many names. Yeah. All right. But that's the end of our Unfocus Weeks. Don't forget, guys, collision28.com. That's the main hub. You can also check us out on, as we said, Apple Podcasts. Stitcher, Spotify, Twitch,
Google, twitch.com/collision28. That's where we're live right now. Or youtube.com/unfocusedpodcast. So go watch these, the VODs.
All right. And so, as we kind of warned you last week, this is a very big week for Marvel. We got the big reveal of Hawkeye. We got the finale of Hawkeye, and we got Spider-Man No Way Home. Mm-hmm. So we're going to save the review for after the news, because we're just going to do a brief news today. Yeah. Not too much going on. All right, AJ, hit us with the news music.
That's right. We have music for that.
Okay.
This is the news.
Let's do it.
The news.
What?
All right, guys, this is going to be real short and sweet. First off, there's a plethora of 20-year anniversaries happening this week. First is Bleach. There is a new trailer for the new Bleach anime that's just been announced, and this is because it's the anniversary of Bleach. So finally, I don't know if you guys have been following this podcast long enough, but we've been waiting, you know, not waiting personally, but just wondering when they're going to fucking finish.
It's been personal.
Yeah. We're just waiting to finish the Bleach anime because it kind of stops right where it gets bad before it gets good again because it got canceled. So it's kind of cool to see that they're going to do more Bleach and continue the story, like just one more arc, you know? So that's dope. The other thing to fall into this 20-year anniversary, Naruto falls into this 20-year anniversary. So now Naruto is, there's a little image that they put out for it. It's just kind of like to highlight how the time has passed. Spoiler alert for those that have not seen Naruto, look away or don't listen. I'll just make it, it's going to be quick, but just look away or don't listen. Is that, you know, if you look at this, you see a passage of time of a character and different forms of that character. That's all I'm going to say. So you kind of get an idea of, you know, what happened. Hopefully you've seen it if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a cool little image the creator put out, you know, and that the, you know, Shonen Jump put out about Naruto. So yeah, I feel old now. 20 years of Naruto. We got into it about 3 or 4 years into the anime being produced. Yeah. Or into the anime coming out. Now they're 20 years in, man. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Be like... like Spider-Verse type of fucking Naruto.
Oh, no, this isn't an actual thing. This is some promo art they put out for the anniversary. Okay, good. All
right.
Yeah, but
freaking 20 years already. That's fucking wild. I just learned that the game called VVVVV is 10 years old. I was like, fuck, VVVVV sounds just new still.
What game is that?
It's like it was an indie game. It's an indie game.
I remember that one. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's something that I actually have, and I played it a little bit, and I've been wanting to go back and play it some more, but like I just never had time. Already 10. I've waited 10 years already.
Right. And the other 20th year anniversary falls to Harry Potter. And some people that might have followed this podcast for a long time might know why I'm raising an eyebrow, because it's something I've talked about for years, for maybe 10 years. I find the connection between Harry Potter and Naruto very fucking suspicious. I don't know I don't know who robbed who or what happened. But, like, Naruto comes out, not even a whole year later, Harry Potter comes out. So that tells you these stories were both already written. And they both got kids learning to be these special types of fucking warriors in a school where the old man master who's teaching them and looks after them secretly to keep them safe from evil dies. And the fucking snake villain comes out and uses their magic powers to try to fuck the whole school up. It's the same fucking story. Like, it's driven me nuts. I've
never put that together before. That's
wild. No, you heard me rant about it on the show for sure.
Maybe.
I've definitely talked about it.
Maybe years ago, yeah.
It's been a while. But I'm just like, I know that just the 20-year anniversary being so close to each other just blows my mind even more that this happened and no one's gotten sued. There's no issues. Like, J.K. Rowling doesn't bitch at Kishimoto. Kishimoto doesn't fucking call J.K. Rowling like, yo, you took my shit. Like, you know,
well,
like
they speak different languages, so that's gonna be kind of a hard argument to have. Yeah,
they've also both been cursed. They're both cursed children with secret hidden powers connected to the villain hidden inside of them that they don't know about. It just, the more the series continued, the more you're just like, oh my god, this is wild. Like, that this is wild. It's the same thing. You know, the only difference here is there's no Sasuke in Harry Potter. Which could have been Hermione if they really wanted to, you know, because she was so good. I would have loved it. They made her a rival for Harry, and she fucking eventually went to Voldemort's side because she was so good, you know?
Speaking of which, I'm still waiting for Bakugo to become Sasuke and freaking My Hero. But it's not happening. I keep thinking it's going to happen, but it doesn't.
Spoiler alert.
You're still waiting for it too.
It's not happening. Even where I'm at, bro. There's moments where I feel like, oh shit, this is where he's gonna do it. He's gonna turn on
it. Yeah, right.
No, bro. No. And it's funny because he feels almost more Sasuke than Sasuke because he's like, I'm not gonna turn because I said I'm gonna be a hero. Like, not even that he doesn't want to be a villain. He's like, I already said I'm gonna be a hero, so yeah, I'm not turning. Yeah. And like, it's funny. Like, he's just very stubborn.
That's
so
funny.
I've been thinking about that too, AJ. I'm like, are you not gonna turn? You're really not gonna turn? Huh?
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, this is it right here. This is what's gonna happen. And it's like, nope. I was like, whoa. Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're going to see something in a later season where you're like, shit.
This is it.
Spoiler alert. It doesn't happen, bro. I'm like, wow, you're not going to turn.
That's funny.
So anyway.
Right. Anyways.
Yeah, 20th year anniversary. Harry Potter, 20th year anniversary. Naruto. You guys, if you've been watching this podcast, I've been fucking weird about this for a long time.
You said there was one other one that you mentioned.
Bleach. Right? You said
Bleach. Oh, Naruto and Harry Potter. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it for that news. Not too much there.
You know, actually, I do have something that...
Sorry, real quick.
Shared for us.
My bad. Real quick. Harry Potter, commemorate this 20th year anniversary, they're doing more than Naruto. They're not just putting out an image. They're putting out a whole Harry Potter special on New Year's Day where you see the whole cast come back together and talk about their roles Harry Potter.
And it says right here.
Yeah, it's right there on the
picture. HBO Max.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max streaming for free starting New Year's Day. So that's all I was going to say. AJ, what are you going to tell me?
What's this about? Did you see this? The Japanese are encoding something.
Rurouni Kenshin. Wait, what? Oh, shit. That's Kenshin. Oh, shit. This is what Steve was telling us about.
Yeah, this is what Chris was telling us about.
Chris is telling us.
I don't know what that says.
Pause it. Oh, fuck.
What does that say?
Go back.
Damn it. I think it just says
That says Rurouni Kenshin.
Okay.
And that says... Oh, no. I can't read that. I'm sorry. Okay, push play to the next thing. I'll look at it. Pause it. Watashi... Anime Projecto. Okay, this is my anime project. I don't know what those last two kanji are.
Oh.
Okay.
So something about a new project, I think.
A new anime project for Kenshin.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird, huh? So you do have some news for us, AJ.
Yeah. Don't know if it's going to be a reboot. Don't know if it's going to continue to our true season 3. We're going to get some Jinshu.
For anyone that doesn't know, we're big Kenshin fans here. We've been waiting for a long time for them to do Jinshu animated, and it just hasn't been happening. It
hasn't happened yet.
They've made a lot of iterations, a lot of continuations.
Got a live-action version of it. I mean, it's not the full story, but like,
we even got a recreation of the Kyoto arc, a reimagining of the Kyoto arc in anime, but we didn't get Jinshu.
No. So what if they do restart the whole series from the beginning? Go through it, new animation, everything, and then actually get to there.
Just follow the manga, no filler season, just go straight to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be...
Retelling the whole story again, though. Kenshin, freaking the Kyoto, freaking Shishio.
I'm not going to be mad. I won't be super pissed about it. I'm not going to be pissed about it, but I'm going to be irritated because I'm like, we've been waiting for a long time to see this Jinshu. And, you know, we've done this dance before. You know, we're like, okay, we'll watch this new project and... Hopefully it'll get to Jinshu, and it just never does.
Yeah.
And even the movies, which were great, we love the movies, they're dope. They did Jinshu, but they didn't really do Jinshu. And, you know, it's just annoying, man. I just feel like they don't want to give it to us at this point. I'm starting to feel like they just don't want us to have it, you know? I'm not going to get my hopes up.
This is an English new animation project started. Production Liden Films. Films?
Yeah. It's a movie?
I don't know.
Oh, we'll do some research after the podcast. I forgot that we were told about this. Yeah. I would have looked into it.
I just remembered it right now, too, when we're talking about...
But new Rurouni Kenshin project coming, animated. Like I said, I'm not going to get my hopes up because I don't think we're getting Jinshu because we never get Jinshu. But I am going to watch this. Whatever it is, I'll watch it. I'm not going to get my hopes up for Jinshu.
Oh, you're doing that whole, like, you know, expect disappointment so then you're not disappointed type of thing, right?
For Kenshin, they've earned it. They've earned it from me. Like, I'm like, I have to watch them carefully now. Okay, other quick pieces of news. I'll make it fast. If you are on Epic Games, they put out free games every now and then. For the next 3 hours, Second Extension is free. It's a game that's kind of popular online. Second Extinction. It's free right now for two more hours. Sorry, not three. Two more hours. So if you want that game, go get it. Other things, if you're a fan of Evil Dead, which I know our buddy Wags is over here on the channel, in Evil Dead, it's been said that Bruce Campbell will not be part of any more live action or any more Evil Dead projects. No, yeah, he's just not going to do it. You know, everyone was kind of bummed about that because, you know, Evil Dead's kind of synonymous with Bruce Campbell. But he recently said, because, you know, it came out that he is revoicing his character in a video game about Evil Dead that's coming out pretty soon.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, they asked him about that in an interview, and he's like, let me make it clear. I'm not going to be Ash ever again in live action, but if they make an anime or a cartoon about it, I will voice him.
He's finding those loopholes.
Yeah, he's basically playing the loophole game so he can still get paid. He's like, basically, I just need something less physically demanding. I can't be jumping around and rolling around and fighting zombies. I'm fucking 67 years old. You know, I just can't be doing that shit anymore.
Yeah,
he's like, so if they want me to voice him, I'd love to do that. So anyone who's afraid that he doesn't want to be part of this franchise anymore, don't worry. It's not that. He just doesn't want to be doing all this shit. He's old. Real quick, Komi Can't Communicate, which is a great anime on Funimation. Highly recommend it. It's very funny. It's about a girl that's considered cute and cool in the school, like the cutest and coolest girl in the school, and she's very mysterious and aloof, right?
Oh, that sounds like me. Yeah, go on.
But she just doesn't know how to talk to people.
Oh.
And that's her secret.
That's me.
She keeps... Yeah, that's kind of you. Yeah, it's kind of you. Yeah, she just doesn't... You know, it's her secret that everyone thinks she's cool and mysterious. She just doesn't know how to talk to people, and it makes her fucking nervous. So like, that's funny. It gives her the air of illusion. It's really cool. It's on Funimation. I think it's also on Hulu. I recommend
it. Oh, it's animated now.
Yeah, it's good. Monitor. It's really good.
That's cool.
Season 2 just got greenlit. So season 2 is coming out next September. So if you got a chance and you want to watch a fun, hilarious anime, I highly recommend you watch Komi Can't Communicate. Just two more pieces of news. I'll make it fast. The creator of... Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. No, that's not true. Kick-Ass reboot happening. There's going to be a new Kick-Ass. I don't know if it'll be good or if it's going to have the same actors, but there is a Kick-Ass reboot in the
works. Reboot, okay. I haven't seen 2.
Me either. I'm scared to watch it because I heard it's just not as good as the first one.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, aww. I know. That's the only reason I haven't watched it. Michael Keaton is coming back in the Batgirl movie, which the reason that's confusing is... J.K. Simmons is coming as Commissioner Gordon in this movie, which he's the Commissioner Gordon from Batman vs. Superman. And Michael Keaton is the Batman from the 1989 Batman movies.
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of feel like DC does not understand the multiverse. I could be wrong. Maybe Flashpoint will make this make sense. But I'm just like, you guys, that's not how it works. Like, you can't just pull people from anything and say this is... What? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we just don't know enough yet. I'm just nervous. I'm like, dude, this is not how it works. Like, Marvel didn't let any news like this out before they did things, so it made sense in our heads.
Yeah.
So I'm like, DC, just fucking slow down. Stop trying to catch up.
Yeah.
And just take your time. Like,
they're probably like, oh, Marvel just did this thing everyone's talking about.
That's what it feels like,
man. But without the context, you know?
That's what it feels like. I'm starting to get annoyed. I feel like they heard Kingpin's in there. Okay.
I heard Quicksilver from the Fox series is in the MCU.
Exactly, bro. I feel like they saw Quicksilver, Kingpin. Okay, we can do this now. And they just threw any characters they want together.
Oh, man.
We'll see where that goes. Last piece of quick news that I wanted to say. What was it? Was there anything... This one's just kind of funny. Oh, no. This is a cool one. No. So, we've seen Godzilla fight a lot of cool things. We've seen him fight King Kong. Uh-huh. We've seen him fight Mothra. We've seen him fight the Japanese government.
Wow. Oh, I guess so.
Yeah. Very difficult opponents, all three.
For sure, yep.
But now we will see them fight their strongest opponent ever. Godzilla will be battling the motherfucking Power Rangers, bro. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
That makes sense. The Dragonzord is modeled off of Godzilla.
And
so.
Look, he's in the background waiting for the beef.
Oh, he is back there.
He's waiting, bro. Yeah. He's waiting for the beef. And yeah, so I don't... this is from the new IDW Power Rangers.
Boom, IDW, yeah.
Knowing how Power Rangers spinoffs and side stories have been, it's probably going to be canon in some weird way. But I don't know. Well, I guess we'll just have to see. The second cover actually has Godzilla and the Dragonzord fucking staring each other down.
There it is.
Yeah, exactly. He has a second cover.
That's funny.
And I'm like, oh shit, it's happening, AJ. Oh, I guess that's a variant cover. Yeah, it's a variant cover. Okay.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's mainly Green Ranger versus Godzilla from this variant.
Did Rita by accident make Godzilla, or did she summon him somehow?
I think she summoned him and controlled him. Like, oh, Earth already has a monster. I'm going to try to use it, you know?
Yeah.
I could see that. So Power Rangers face their most striking enemy at the early next year for the IDW Comics 2022. This book is not out yet, but it'll be out in January. So keep an eye out for it. Godzilla versus Mighty Morphin Power Rangers
Volume 1. I'm kind of down.
I'm kind of down too, bro.
Does this confirm that Power Ranger Megazords are Jaegers from Pacific Rim?
Damn. They're like future
fighting kaijus
in the future.
Stuff?
In the future, you know?
Yeah.
When they don't have it, like when they got better technology, that's how they do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right,
that's
so that
crazy.
Covers news, guys. That's the Unfocused News. I know usually it's the main part of the show, and it's longer than that, but that's about all we got to say today. One last piece of news. I'm sorry, AJ, but you can get in on this. This actually connects to one of our breakdowns we're going to do. So in the Spider-Man movie, this is not a spoiler, so anyone, don't worry. This is not a spoiler for the Spider-Man movie. But the after credit scene is actually not a scene. It's a trailer.
Yeah.
It's a trailer for Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
Which is out now publicly, too, I think.
Yeah. And the news I actually have is that 3 days ago, they announced Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is done with its reshoots. The movie is done. So this now puts me in no man's land, too. I know nothing about what they've changed in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. So I don't know either. I have some guesses, but I don't know. And the thing is that the reshoots have finished, and then 2 days after the reshoots finished, they dropped the trailer for everyone else to see, not just for Spider-Man watchers. That is now on YouTube. You can watch it right now, the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness trailer.
Yep.
It's very cool. I'm not going to spoil it right now. We'll probably spoil it in the Spider-Man part, but I just wanted to mention that.
Yes, we will. I was going to say, do you have the numbers for Spider-Man? I think I have it right here.
Numbers for what?
The box office numbers for Spider-Man.
Oh, no, I don't
know. Did you see that?
I just saw that it did better than Far From Home, which is saying a lot. Because Far From Home made a gang of money, if anyone doesn't know.
It did $253 million.
Shit! In 3 days?
I guess so, yeah.
Jesus Christ. For anyone who doesn't know, that's not only a regular box office record, but that also it blows the pandemic record out of the water.
For sure. So the highest one that's close is Spider-Man 3, Tobey Maguire, worth $150 million. Far From Home. Oh, no, what was the first one? Homecoming, $117 million. And then in third place from there, not including the new one, $114 million with the first Spider-Man. Everything else was in double digits. Those are the only three that made triple digits.
That's crazy.
But No Way Home exceeded that. Almost doubled it.
Almost doubled it.
Almost. Damn, yeah.
Damn,
so
that's wild.
I want to confirm that really quick. I'll look it up real quick, too.
That's insane. And you know what? That being said, this isn't a dick move, so I'm not going to play the music. This is a dumb move. Matrix should not have fucking challenged Spider-Man, bro. I mean, we all know the cinema history of Spider-Man. Do you know Spider-Man has never been less than number one in its box office release?
Has never been what, number one?
It's never been less than number one.
Oh, less than number one. Oh, okay.
So
we
have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Spider-Man movies. And if you want, you could even say 10 and include Infinity War and Endgame.
Mm.
Spider-Man has never been less than number one in its box office release. Never. I don't know why Matrix thought this was a good fucking week to release, bro. I'm like, don't challenge fucking Spider-Man. Just wait 2 more weeks. Like, they always kill it, dude. No. No. What? $751 million worldwide?
Damn.
Bro. I feel like I'm in the Tracksuit Mafia, bro.
Bro.
Bro, Peter Parker is guy, bro.
For
That's
sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and this budget is $2 million, so it definitely more than doubled it.
Fucking... I don't know if you've seen that video of Tom Holland doing Singing in the Rain, but now he's singing in the Money Rain. You know what I mean? Like, God damn, man. That's wild. Okay.
That's crazy.
All right.
Yeah.
That being said, we're going to jump into the spoilers slowly. So for those that don't know, this was a really big week for Marvel. And as I mentioned a month ago, this week has been planned out for a long time. This reminds me of that Training Day line where, Ethan Hawke, Jake, He's like, you've been planning this for weeks. And then fucking Denzel Washington replies, I've been planning it for months. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about Marvel's release with the Hawkeye and Spider-Man shit. Everyone's oh, this is nice. Like, no, motherfucker. They've been thinking about this for a long time. Like, this is clearly very well thought out. Like, how they were going to give us the information we got, you know, piece by piece.
What should we talk about first?
I don't know, man. I guess
we'll go in order.
Spider-Man first then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so for those that, before we, oh yeah, so Spider-Man, No Way Home. Let me just give you guys a little backstory as to the spoiler history of this fucking movie. Sony Brazil fucked up a long time ago, maybe 6-7 months ago, and put out a teaser that said, who's your favorite Spider-Man? It showed Toby, Tom Holland, and Andrew Garfield Spider-Man web swing in their own scene from their own movies, side by side, right?
Okay.
And they said, choose your favorite Spider-Man.
That's funny.
And this was immediately after No Way Home was announced. Mm. This teaser came out. So everyone was like, what the fuck? All three of them are in this? And ever since then, it's been an uphill battle for Marvel and Sony trying to convince us that that's not what's happening here.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's insane, man. This has been spoiled for so long. But, you know, I give them credit. They fought back. They never confirmed it. They never let anyone confirm it.
Yep.
So I felt like it made it still surprising when you see it in the theaters.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're in spoilers here, guys, so here it comes.
But even before that, like, we were still even talking about it. Like, you know, maybe we'll see one of them, you know, if we get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, they gave us it all. But yeah, so full spoiling warning in effect right now. Spider-Man No Way Home.
Last chance to get out, guys. We're about to tell you.
You see the spoiler. We're talking about the subject right now.
So first off, before the big spoiler, Aunt May.
Oof.
Does it make it?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I didn't see that coming. I didn't even think that was a possibility for some reason.
No, bro, that was not in my mind at all. But I'll tell you right away, they played this horrible emotional game with me where she got hit by the glider. In my mind, I was like, oh, she's dead. And then she's okay.
Yeah.
And the goblin throws a bomb at her, making it seem like this is what's going to kill her.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man does a super heroic move to save Aunt May from the bomb.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, she's good. And Spider-Man picks her up, talks to her, and she's like, I'm good.
Having a conversation.
They have a full conversation. Everybody established she's good.
Yep.
I was already a little bit nervous in my head, but I'm like, but they're saying she's good.
Yeah.
And he saved her from the bomb, so she must be fine. After a minute, you see Spider-Man looks at his hand. It's covered in blood.
Yeah, and then she's like feeling woozy. She's like, I need to lay down and it's not feeling well.
Dude,
you know?
As soon as I saw her say, I'm feeling a little dizzy, I covered my face like, no. I'm like, don't do it to me. And then, you know, he sees his hand with the blood. And we've seen enough anime and movie to know when you see someone look at their hand with the blood on it.
Yep.
That's game, bro. You ain't making it. Oh, my
and
God.
Didn't they do that same thing in the first Spider-Man with Uncle Ben as well?
They didn't really make it seem like he made it.
That's right.
But they did do the surprise, you know, where you're like, oh, shit, there's blood on his hand. Like, oh, fuck, he's dead. Like, you know. Wow, man. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, for reals.
That was great, though.
That was something that happened. That was probably one of the bigger fucking moments I was like surprised about. Should we talk about cameos?
Let's do it, man.
So one of the first cameos that we get in the first, what, like 15, 20 minutes, right? Is our boy, it's a lawyer.
Oh, yeah. So
Matt Murdock.
Oh, yeah. Matt Murdock, man.
Appears, shows himself, cane and sunglasses and blindness and all.
And actually saves the shit out of Peter Parker because we start to think he's about to go to jail and go to trial.
Yeah.
And then they get him out of it.
Yep.
And Aunt May just keeps saying, no, I found you a really good lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps saying, I found you a really good lawyer. Don't worry. And then fucking the camera pans out. Fucking Daredevil, man. Charlie Cox is back as Daredevil. For anyone who doesn't know, Kevin Feige just said last week, eventually, whenever we put him in there, Charlie Cox will be Daredevil. And sure, not even a week after he said it, there he was.
Yep.
This is great because the most casual cameo in the whole fucking movie is Daredevil.
It is.
And I'm like, they didn't make a big deal out of it. No. It wasn't a big plot point, it's but like, it solved
like,
the problem.
They could have put like any lawyer in that spot and it would have felt the same, and they kind of just put him there instead.
Just to let us know.
Jesus, there. Like,
by the way, this is real. Yeah. This is real.
This guy's here. He's a lawyer.
Now, we don't know if this confirms Netflix is real, but we'll talk about Hawkeye, and I have a theory that Netflix is real.
Okay.
But we'll talk about it when we get to Hawkeye. But dude, and then they went even further to show you he might find out he's Daredevil. Someone throws a brick at Spider-Man. Spider-Man goes to catch it. And before Spider-Man can catch it, Matt Murdock catches it.
Yeah. Blind dude.
Blind dude.
And they even ask him, how'd you catch that? How'd you know that was happening? He's a really good lawyer.
He said, I'm a really good lawyer. Yeah. And then he follows up by telling Happy Hogan, by the way, you're going to need a better lawyer because you're fucked. Which, by the way, that's got to be setting up Armor Wars,
yeah,
right?
I think so,
Happy
too.
Happy Hogan's in trouble because there's missing Stark Tech from their fucking roster of facilities. So the government came through and took the rest of the Stark Tech away from their facilities. So not only do we have possible thievery, criminals having it, now the government has it too.
Yeah.
Which, if anyone's never read Armor Wars, that's the whole premise of the comic. The government and supervillains have Tony Stark's tech. And Tony has to make a better armor to counter all of them.
Damn.
Which that's not going to happen because War Machine can't create the armor.
And Iron Man is technically not there.
He's not there. He's dead. He's deader than fried chicken. Spoilers for Endgame. Anyway.
But
Armor Wars looks like it got set up right there, huh? And then Matt Murdock just left it ominous saying, you're going to need a better lawyer, Happy. I was like, oh, shit. So will that mean Matt Murdock's going to come back?
Maybe.
Is he referring to She-Hulk? I don't know.
Ooh, okay.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good point. I didn't think about that one there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we get that. That's all you see of Matt Murdock. That's all you see of Daredevil there.
Doesn't come back in the movie.
That's it. Not at all. Doesn't even show up again at all, which is crazy. But yeah, also too, the whole movie takes place right after the end of Far From Home, where you get the freaking J. Jonah Jameson on the freaking screen talking about this is Spider-Man. Then you see what happens after that was the crowd is like gathering around him, people trying to catch him and shit, right? And he takes off
talking shit to his girlfriend.
Yeah,
like, are you with him? Are you with Spider-Man? Like, yeah. Blah, blah.
And then they take off and shit, and he has to go to school, right? And everyone knows after you get him out of jail and all that, right? I feel like, did we get the scene we saw in the movies where he's in? I think we did, right?
Which one?
Where he was in holding. And
yeah, that's right before Matt Murdock got involved.
Yeah, yeah. Because we didn't get Matt Murdock there at the jail. We got
it was
him
after. Yeah.
We got him in his home.
Yeah, because the thing is that Aunt May gave Peter some legal advice saying they can't hold you until they can prove you committed a crime. And he's like, wait, can you guys prove I committed a crime? And they can't.
Yeah.
So they let him go. And then she brings Matt Murdock to the house, and he fucking saves his ass. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Okay, wait. Can I take one moment?
Yes.
To show some humility and say that I can admit when I was wrong. The story wasn't about... Oh, man, what was the thing I was going to say I was wrong about? It wasn't the case that... the story was... I thought the whole story was going to be... I said this a long time ago, that the whole story was going to be about Peter Parker trying to free himself and prove he didn't fuck up and all that shit. I was wrong about that. I want to admit that right away. I actually want to take this moment to claim how right I was, because I said for 2 years, ever since they canceled, Feige's not getting rid of Daredevil. I said it, and he did it. I knew it. Daredevil Watch, we were right. Daredevil's coming back.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure we were very in agreement about Daredevil's
got
to come back.
Yeah, he got it, because it was
too
good.
It'd be dumb if they didn't use him. Like,
yes.
And we were right here on Unfocused, guys. Daredevil is back.
Yep.
There's a lot of doubters, even the actors. Some of the actors were doubting that they would come back, and we always knew they were coming back. So
just gotta see if the rest make it now too, though.
Yeah, I don't think they all will. We'll talk more about that later, but I don't think they're all gonna make it.
All right, and then later on, what happens throughout the movie? What are some other cool moments in there? We finally get Spider-Man wanting to, like, he wants everyone to forget he was Spider-Man, you know, to fucking free himself because they're trying to get into college. He can't get into college because of everyone's association with Spider-Man and that he's Spider-Man. So him, MJ, and Ned don't make it into MIT, right?
Yeah.
Because of that reason. So he's like, I just wish everyone just didn't know I was Spider-Man so everyone could just be free of my burden and all that, right? So you go talk to Strange.
By the way, I don't think it's a good thing that Ned's going to MIT because a lot of villains come out of MIT. Have you realized that?
I wanted to get into that later on when we start talking about Ned later
on. Yeah, a lot of supervillains come out of MIT, and you know, there's already a hint that you're going to probably bring up about Ned maybe not being on the straight and narrow.
Right.
Now he works at MIT. Or he goes to school at
MIT. He's going to go to MIT, yeah.
The same place that Obadiah Stane,
oh,
Killmonger had went to.
That's funny.
You know what I mean? I'm like, this isn't looking good, man. This isn't looking good.
That's interesting.
Justin Hammer, didn't he go to fucking MIT too?
Bro, I don't doubt it.
I think Justin Hammer went to MIT too.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know, man. MIT.
That's where they did the whole barf technology where freaking Mysterio technically...
That's where Mysterio went to school too.
I'm not sure if he went to school there, but that's where they showed off his tech
at
MIT.
He worked there at least.
Right?
Yeah,
something like that for sure.
Either he went to school there or he worked there or both.
He worked for tech. He worked for Stark Tech. That's where he worked.
Okay.
Yeah, but they showed off the technology there at MIT. So that's interesting. But yeah, so they will go talk to Strange or Peter Parker talks to Strange. We get to see Wong. Wong explains Strange is no longer Sorcerer Supreme.
Which, by the way,
because of the snap.
Yeah. And he says he's not the Sorcerer Supreme. And then Strange is like, it's on a technicality.
Yeah.
Like, first thing he said. Which, you know, this is something I was wondering about for both Sorcerer Supreme and Black Panther. I was like, who's holding those mantles while they're gone? Because someone has to hold both of those mantles, you know?
Yep.
So we don't have the Black Panther answer yet, but we got the fucking Doctor Strange answer. Wong has and still is been the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, which is probably why we saw him in Shang-Chi and not Doctor Strange, right? Because he's kind of in charge.
And why he could even make a call like that to hang out with a fucking supervillain that's kept in the wrap.
Yeah, well, the Abomination and all that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because
he's the boss now.
Yeah, so that kind of explains some things, I guess.
And so, also, some people that have not seen this, if you're watching this without seeing the movie, which I don't know why you would do that, but if you're watching this without seeing the movie, you might be like, oh, that makes sense. That's why Wong told him not to use the spell. Guess what? That line's not even in this fucking
movie. No.
He doesn't tell Strange not to.
Editing magic again there with the trailers.
It almost feels like Wong doesn't want beef with Strange over the whole Sorcerer Supreme thing. He's like, do whatever you want. Just leave me out of it.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to have any part of it.
He knows Strange could kick his ass probably, right?
Because we all know who's the more capable Sorcerer Supreme. I think Wong knows it too, you know? Dr. Strange takes it among himself to use the spell. Peter fucks it up just like the trailer. That's true. That's what happens. And the spell starts bringing people that know Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Now, luckily, Dr. Strange is able to cut the spell off before it gets too crazy.
Yeah.
But six entities come through from other universes that know Peter Parker is Spider-Man. We'll get into the sixth one towards the end of this. But the five are the ones you know from the trailers.
Yeah.
Green Goblin, mm-hmm. Sandman, mm-hmm. Lizard, mm-hmm. Electro, Dr. Octopus.
So they make it through and we kind of see them just like the trailers. We freaking first see Doc Ock come through, have a quick fight with Spider-Man.
Which was great. Better in the movie than it was in the trailer.
I like this fight scene. I like it more because like it doesn't tell you how Spider-Man's suit works, all the nanotech that Stark made. But you know how Stark tech nanotech works from watching Infinity War Endgame, right? And so when his armor fucking breaks and then it goes a little bit onto fucking Doc Ock's, and then it's from the chest piece, right? And then he goes for a chest shot, and then the face armor goes down to the chest to protect him, and that's how the face gets revealed. Because I was like, why is Spider-Man just revealing his face to him all of a sudden? It's because the nanotech had to do it to protect his chest.
Which means that scene you saw where Dr. Octopus takes the mask off is also not real.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so like that was just like it, they don't even tell you how that's working, but if you know it, then you just know it, which is like a thing I like about Marvel movies nowadays. It's like if you just know it, they're not gonna explain it again.
It's implied.
Yeah.
Also, a funny thing about that's implied, don't you wonder how Dr. Octopus could even know how that works when he doesn't have a Tony Stark in his world?
I don't think he knew that it worked, but I guess
he knew. He looked at it and he said,
"Oh, he did."
He said nanotech.
He did say nanotech.
He's like, "Not bad, Parker."
He did say that.
You know how he knows? They say in Spider-Man 2 that's one of the technologies that fucking Norman Osborn was working on. Spider-Man 1. They name a bunch of stuff, and one of the things they name is nanotech. And Dr. Octopus also mentions this in Spider-Man 2.
Man, I want to go back and watch Spider-Man 2 and all that. I didn't get a chance. I watched the first Tobey Maguire one.
Yeah.
I didn't see the second one, though.
Yeah.
I wanted to before this.
Well, in the second one, Dr. Octopus goes out of his way to mention he knows that nanotech is a thing in their universe.
Yeah.
So that's why when he sees it on Parker, he knows it by sight. Because in their universe, it is a thing. We don't know if that's because it's Stark or not, because, you know, there doesn't seem to be a Stark in that universe.
Right.
But he knows about it.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
And what's cool, though, is that the nanotech, the Stark tech, takes over the fucking arms, and that's the way freaking Spider-Man was able to control and stop Doc Ock.
Just like Stark was able to stop Thanos with the fucking nanotech, right?
I guess so, right, in some way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. And then after he stops him and all that, the freaking goblin comes through, fucking just throwing his shit, and then don't they get warped after that?
Yeah, he doesn't get to fight him.
Yeah, Doctor Strange calls him freaking over and fucking locks up Doc Ock and all that. So that's about all you kind of see from Doc Ock for a while. He's just locked up in that cell for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doctor Strange explains what's going on and shit, and now Spider-Man needs to go and find all the other bitches.
So he does. You know, as Doctor Strange says, they Scooby-Doo that shit.
Yeah.
You know, not crab.
Not crab.
Scooby-Doo that shit.
Yes.
And so they Scooby-Doo that shit. They get them all, and Spider-Man, Doctor Strange reveals, I'm going to put them back where they're supposed to be, and they all die fighting Spider-Man, and they're all right at the moment, close to before they die. He wants to put them back. Spider-Man's like, wait, so you're telling me you put them back and they die? And he's like, yep, sorry, kid.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
No.
No.
Spider-Man fucking versus Doctor Strange. Next moment, Spider-Man versus cool. Doctor Strange. That was one of the coolest fucking fights we've seen in Marvel ever.
That was pretty dope, yeah.
I remember my brain was, it was like watching Naruto. Or Hunter x Hunter, my brain was getting busted as the fight was happening. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, he's using the portal to use his web against.
Yeah.
Like, you have to really pay attention, like, to really catch what they're doing to each other.
That first part, though, where he stops in and takes his soul out of his body, and he's trying to grab the box, but his body, even without the soul, still moving the armor.
Do you know what's happening?
That's his spider sense, right?
Yeah, because it's in his body.
Wild, yeah.
And Peter's like, hey, that's cool.
Yeah, right?
And Strange is like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
Give me
so
the box.
That was kind of crazy to see. But yeah, just the whole dude, I was having portal flashbacks, like just the game portal.
Yep.
Because the falling through the hole of each other, him fucking making him web himself through the portals and all that, like all that shit was crazy.
It was a great fight. Very, if you're a fan of Naruto, you are gonna love that fight.
Or portal.
It's gonna make your brain be nonstop thinking about what's happening, what's doing, which, you know, that's what another reason I like the Marvel movies. Their fight scenes are starting to get to the point where if you don't know how their powers work, you're not understanding the fight scene.
Mm.
But if you know how their powers work, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's creative.
Like, they're not dumbing it down for us now. It's kind of like what's happening now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not like Cap versus Iron Man and Thor, you know, from Avengers 1. Mm. Things have gone so fucking far now that they're treating you like an adult when you're thinking about these things.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
And then, yeah, whole mirror dimension, geometry to defeat Strange,
geometry,
right?
Beats magic. Wow. My favorite line, which brings us to my favorite line in the whole movie. Hey, guys, I just fought Doctor Strange and I totally won. That was great. That was so funny. <Yeah.
laughs> Come through bragging.
I totally won. I just fought Doctor Strange. Yeah. Like, that's just so funny.
And he took his fucking ring, too, right? What's it called?
Sling ring.
The sling ring, right?
It's the only way to stop him because he's going to keep coming after him.
Yeah, he's going to keep opening portals and chasing after him, right?
Which we're not going to go into Ned too much, but, dude, Ned's fucking whole little side arc is hilarious with magic and his family and him even being able to do it and Doctor Strange being like, huh. And then just walks away like...
Yeah. And figuring out the magic and all that was kind of crazy. Now,
realize the cape saves Ned specifically, right?
Yes, yeah.
Why is the cape attracted to Ned? Why is it trying to save Ned?
Right? I thought that Doctor Strange, like, told it to go save him, though.
He never heard that.
No, like...
I assume it's because of his magical connection. Because it keeps going for Ned.
Maybe.
Could have saved MJ. Didn't save her. It went for Ned.
Mm.
Fucking brought him down all epically and
yeah.
That was great.
But I want to ask, because... Because I keep hearing that Ned in comics is Hobgoblin. What kind of powers does Hobgoblin have?
He doesn't have any superpowers.
He doesn't have any superpowers.
No,
he's not magical. Is it like a magical goblin in some way?
No.
He
takes the green goblin. Wait. So Hobgoblin takes the Green Goblin's tech and makes his own goblin and fucking starts fucking shit up, right?
Okay.
However, Hobgoblin eventually makes a contract with Mephisto. And becomes Demo Goblin, Demon Goblin.
What the fuck?
And he actually becomes the fucking goblin in a weird way. Like, he looks creepier, and it's not just a mask. It's part of his face.
Like, he forms into a fucking goblin.
Demon Goblin.
Oh, shit.
So, I don't know if that's where they're going, but if they're going to keep going with the magical shit, I could see that happening.
Okay.
Also, Hobgoblin's into a lot of weird fucking creepy-ass weapons, including crossbows.
Okay.
And Ned was in Doctor Strange's fucking dungeon playing around with his crossbow and shit.
Mm,
I was like, oh, yeah, shit. He was. And then let's not forget the famous line where he's like, I'll never betray you and die in your arms. And then all the other people are like,
yeah.
He's like, guys, what's going on? You know, everyone's just like nervous about Ned now.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
So I was wondering about that. But yeah, that's all the Ned stuff pretty much.
And so from then in the story, they skip to the whole thing we just mentioned about Aunt May. She dies. Peter Parker's sad. You know, he's kind of like chilling off doing his own thing.
That's after he had captured everybody, had his fight with Electro, had his fight with Sandman, captured everybody.
Started curing them.
And then he talked about like saving them. So after he fought fought Strange, took them to Happy's apartment, right? And hanging out with everyone in the fucking room. Fucking Goblin was there.
Lizard. They had a great time. They had a party.
Everyone was there.
It was a science party.
Yeah, right?
Which, by the way, I can't believe Green Goblin said the line.
Which one?
When they were like, maybe we have to use some science to like solve everybody's problems. Yeah. Like, science? I'm something of a scientist myself. Yeah. Wow. I can't believe
that. That was a cool callback right there, too.
Hilarious, bro. I almost didn't hear the next few lines being said because I was so busy laughing about that line. Yeah. Like,
you know what? It's around that point that I started to notice something with how Peter was looking or how Tom Holland was looking. In certain scenes and certain shadowy figures, especially throughout the fights and all that, his hairstyle to get kind of crazy here and there. Where at some points he looked like his hairstyle and everything looked like Tobey Maguire from Spider-Man. And then later on in the shadowy spots where he's finally like Electro, his hair looked kind of poofy like Andrew Garfield from Spider-Man. I was seeing this a lot during some of those fights when he was fighting certain characters.
AJ, I have not heard anyone online mention that. You should really... Well, we just mentioned it right now. Yeah, okay, that's pretty fucking interesting.
So if anyone goes back and rewatches it, go look for that. Yeah.
Damn, AJ, that's very interesting.
Because every time I looked at him, I'm like, why is his hair just all like this now? I was like, looks like freaking Andrew Garfield.
And Marvel's
especially in the shadows, like you can see his hair, like that looks like Andrew Garfield.
And Marvel's so specific that I would not think that's an accident.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty interesting. Okay, cool.
So I was getting those kind of vibes from him, like during certain fights without his mask and all that. But that's something that I was feeling there. But yeah, and then I like the whole Spider-Sense part too, where he's in the fucking room with everybody, and his Spider-Sense starts going fucking crazy, going deafening, and he's just like looking around.
He's trying to figure out who's the traitor.
Yeah, who's triggering this shit.
And eventually he focuses on Willem Dafoe, and then you get the whole fight in the moment with Aunt May.
But he goes after Electro. That's what he goes after.
Oh yeah, because it's because of the fucking thing on his chest, right?
And I think to who targets was Electro, I think.
No. He sees it's Electro, but then he realizes it's because of the Goblin. Because maybe the Goblin says, that's a neat trick you got there now. You didn't have that before. Remember, he even says.
That's true, too, yeah. So. And that's what the whole thing with May happens.
Yeah, and all the drama goes down, and Peter's depressed and sad, and, just basically, he won't talk to Ned and MJ.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of, trying to reflect.
Just runs away.
He's trying to reflect, you know? And so Ned and MJ are like, no, he needs our help. Aunt May's dead. We got to be there for him now more than ever.
Yeah.
She's like, yo, Ned, use that new power you just got to open a portal to Peter.
Yeah.
And he tells the sling ring, take me to Peter Parker.
Yep. And he gets to Peter Parker.
The portal opens, and you see Spider-Man in an alleyway. And they're like, Peter. And he turns around like,
he's like, hey,
what?
Yeah.
And they're like, Peter. And he's like, pointing, like, talking to me.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, Peter, come here. And he's like, okay. He starts walking over there. He's like, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to walk. And he starts walking over there. And only as he starts walking, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, this is the fucking moment. I didn't even realize it when they were talking to him.
No, you can tell with the mask, too, because those eyes were just freaking.
Like I said, I didn't even catch that until he started walking towards them. And I was like, oh, my God, those eyes are not the regular ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I feel like people were catching it before I was, and then I caught it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. And then he jumps through the portal and rips his mask off.
Yeah.
It's fucking Andrew Garfield. And so if anyone's been following us, he's the wolf. He lied to us the whole time.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's been in this movie the whole time. And, you know, he has a great little exchange with Mary Jane and, like, you know, about how she doesn't believe him. And he's like, you're very suspicious, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it's pretty great. And they're like, okay, this is wrong. Let's try again.
Yeah.
Open up to Peter. And guess what? Tobey Maguire jumps through too.
Yeah, but without no spider suit though.
Yeah,
he just
regular.
Comes through. Didn't Tobey Maguire at one point say that he's never going to wear the suit again or some shit like that?
In the movie, he did. Yeah, in movie two, he said that.
No, not in the movies, but just at like Tobey Maguire himself.
Oh yeah, he did say he's never going to. Yeah, because he's like Sam Raimi's not involved. I'm never wearing the Spider-Man suit again.
Right, exactly. And so when I saw him walk through without the suit, I'm like, okay, maybe he's going to play this as Peter Parker, not even get into a Spider-Man suit.
And the second best line of the movie. Andrew Garfield's like, all right, we're getting close to action time. Are you just going to swing in as like a cool youth pastor or what?
Yeah.
And then Toby gives him this knowing, annoyed look like, Man.
Yeah.
And then he lifts his shirt.
Yeah, kind of pulls out the Spider-Man. Yeah.
And let me tell you, out of all the moments in the whole movie theater, people going crazy, that's when people went the craziest. When he lifted his shirt, everyone just went, whoa! And that's like crazy. I was like, wow. I didn't think that's what people would be the most excited about, but that's what they were.
I know, right?
And yeah, man, everything you would imagine happens from there. The Spider-Man team up.
Yeah.
They fucking take on the Sinister Five.
They have a cool little fucking go back and forth and all that with each other in the beginning, too. Like,
and which AJ didn't notice, and I didn't really notice at first, is they have the Spider-Man point. They all point at each other.
They do it?
Yeah, when Ned says, Peter, and they all say yes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like,
Peter Parker.
And they're like, no, not you. And they all say, no, not you. And they point at each other. So, like, there's no Spider-Man. Yeah.
Okay.
And no, he's talking to me. Like, they're like, not you. And they're, like, pointing at each other. Like, so that's the Spider-Man pointing meme happens.
That's funny.
And the coolest fucking moment in almost all of Marvel, and this is why people are saying this is the end game of Spider-Man, is when they all fucking line up and they all start web swinging together off of a scaffold. And there's no more scaffold, so they start web swinging off of each other's fucking webs.
That
and
you're was just sick. Like,
oh my god, this is wild.
Yeah.
And they all three land in the fucking Black Widow pose at the same time together. And you're just like, oh my god, this is the thing that I imagined was happening, but I wasn't sure. And now, like, you're sure, and it's just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Great movie.
That was wild. That whole fight there too. Also, before even all that, so Aunt May gives Peter great power. You know, comes great responsibility.
And you're like, I didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it coming really either. I was like, how could I not see it coming, bro? But then when the other Spider-Man's come through to kind of, you know, talk to Peter Parker for MCU, and then he's like, yeah, Aunt May, say, you know, with great power. And then the other freaking Tobey Maguire's like, comes great responsibility.
And he's like, that's what Uncle Ben told me.
Yeah, just that moment though, like, that was kind of planted, so you kind of saw it coming. And he kind of needed it to happen too after that whole thing too.
At first,
like,
I was
in that,
like,
way.
At first I was always like, this is a little too much, but then as I was watching, like, no, I actually didn't need them to say it.
Yeah. Because
they were straying away from this since Civil War.
Yeah.
Like, trying not to say it, you know, like almost like Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
Like,
they're
trying not to say it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I think that's the person. All right, okay. But yeah, and then also, what else was happening in that scene too? Like, that whole talk scene was pretty crazy. Freaking, you know, I was kind of waiting for Tom Holland Spider-Man to talk about what happened to Uncle Ben and all that. That didn't really come up though, so that's kind of still a mystery to me in a way. But and then I guess you can say Aunt May filled in that Uncle Ben role. So. That was interesting. And then what else was, I don't know, that whole moment was pretty cool. Just seeing the Spider-Man just talk to each other. And of course, you got freaking Andrew Garfield talking about Gwen, how he kind of lost her and all that. You know, like a little foreshadowing the future right there, right? Because we did see something in the trailer that happened. And I think we even said it last time on the show here, watching that trailer where Mary Jane was falling and Spider-Man was about to rescue her. And then we're saying, imagine if Andrew Garfield comes through and saves her right there, right? Foreshadowing right there, right? So that whole thing happens. And yeah, getting back to the fight. So I was just talking about where MJ was falling off the freaking building.
Oh my god, yeah. And I think I called that.
Yeah, I was just saying, we're just talking about that, and you mentioned it yourself. Yeah, like, that's when Andrew Garfield's gonna break in there, right, and save her.
Yeah.
Just how he couldn't do it with Gwen.
And sure enough,
exactly what happens. And he thinks about it a second, and he does it differently.
You know what's funny? There's a lot of things I had called about this movie that I was wrong about. But there's two specific moments that I was 100% right on, and that's one.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the second one as we go.
Okay.
But yeah, that fight was great, man. And we saw Andrew Garfield was the one doing a flip kick to Lizard from the Brazilian trailer.
Yeah. We probably saw that neck go sideways, and like, okay, that's where it happened.
And everyone was saying a punch, but it was a kick.
It was a kick, yeah.
It was a kick. Oh, man. I also like when they were like, let's kick some ass. And then Tobey Maguire said, hey, let's cure some ass.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah. That show was great, man.
Yeah, because they all made, like, some type of special serum to, like, you know, save everyone from their, like, their weird forms and all that, right?
Also, that was genius because all of it made sense. Because we saw Amazing Spider-Man 1, and then Andrew Garfield just comes like, oh, I already know how to cure the lizard.
Yeah.
He's like, because he came up with a formula. He's like, oh, I'll make it right now.
Yeah.
I was like, I like how it was so easy.
I did it one time.
But I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, that actually makes a lot of sense. Like, we saw him do that. Other one I like that made a lot of sense is when he was like, we need something to cure the goblin. He's like, Toby was like, I think I can do it. He's like, I've been thinking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
Because you know that's like his saddest failure.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the whole three movies, you know?
What moments are these Spider-Men pulled from? They all seem to be pulled from present time. Like, because we know Goblin, it came from before he died. Lizard or everyone else before they all died, right? Everyone before they died. Except for these two Spider-Men, looks like they're from like a present time. Because I think Tobey Maguire explains that he's like older.
He's already fought them all.
He's fought them all. He's been thinking about Goblin for a long
time.
By
the way, Toby sounds a hell of a lot like Peter B. Parker from Into the Spider-Verse.
You think so?
Well, remember Mary Jane and him?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
They showed him do the train, stop. They showed him fucking fight Dr. Octopus.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed that Mary Jane breaks up with him. And then at the end of that movie, he fucking goes back to his universe and fucking goes back to Mary Jane and she smiles and they kind of show that they're kind of getting back together. And then this one says, we're not perfect, but we're making it work.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me feel like Peter B. Parker from Enter the Spider-Verse.
Okay, maybe that's what it is.
So if Miles Morales were to come into another movie, I wouldn't be surprised if Tobey Maguire knows him.
Okay.
He's like, oh, Miles! I taught you how to web swing.
So
imagine.
So that means that this Peter Parker that we just saw already met Miles.
The Toby one.
But didn't go around talking about it.
Why would he?
I know. Didn't have any time. That's one thing I wish I wanted to happen. I was like, man, I just want these Spider-Man. Like, I could have a fucking movie going like an extra 30 minutes to an hour with these three just hanging out, having a fucking drink somewhere, talking about their problems.
It was so amazing watching them just talk about anything.
Yeah.
It's so true.
So I could have done that and just watched that too. And I would have liked them to catch up so that they can all learn about what's going on, what they can expect in the future, like what their powers are. To share those experiences with each other because they can't really share those experiences with other people because other people don't understand.
Yeah.
But they seem to like each other so much because they all understood each other because they're all like the same person, right? So I kind of like that dynamic and I wish that we could have gotten more of that. But, you know, things just had to go right away so they don't get that moment to learn from each other, you know?
I'm glad they had a moment to talk about web swinging.
Yeah.
Web fluid.
The web fluids? Yeah, that was
so
funny,
bro. All right, let's.
But yeah, so I'm guessing, though, that these Spider-Man are from present day that time, but in their universe, where all the enemies were from right before they died, from where we saw them in the movies.
I think that's because of the spell that Doctor Strange had used. They're pulling people that know Peter Parker is Spider-Man. So time is not what it's focusing on, so it doesn't matter that it grabbed Goblin or an Octopus from the same timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's going down a list and taking people that know Peter Parker, Spider-Man, including Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Apparently, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that is weird. Also, I feel like Jamie Foxx is from a parallel universe.
I don't think that's
Andrew Garfield's one.
I don't know either. Yeah, that's another weird one. Also, some people were mentioning to me, too, like, did Electro ever actually find out that he was Peter Parker? And Amazing Spider-Man 2?
You know, besides his physical looks, that's what makes me think he's a variant. Because he never does find out he's Peter Parker. And the spell specifically grabs people.
Who knows Peter Parker.
And he looks different. He's got to be a variant.
Unless he knows Peter Parker, but not that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
No, the spell says, though, that people that know Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Mm.
That's why it's Dr. Octopus. That's why it's Green Goblin. Yeah. That's why it's Sandman. Wait! Sandman don't know Peter Parker, Spider-Man.
I don't remember that one either. This is why I wanted to go back.
He might. Yeah, I might have to rewatch 3.
I think he did because he wasn't surprised like by seeing him in all that throughout the movie. Like even when Spider-Man was like when Tom Holland was masked.
No, you're
he
right. Got,
he's like, oh, Peter Parker, what up, man? You know,
yeah.
Like he was cool with him.
No, you're right. You're right. That's true.
So he must have known. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I must be missing a detail from Spider-Man 3.
Now I want to kind of go back and watch those movies just to see if they actually knew him or not. The Electro one, though, like I'm on the fence with. Like I don't remember.
No, I'll tell you for maybe sure. He knew Electro. Only. Electro never just found never. Out because they didn't even they never had a personal connection outside of their superhero supervillain guises.
But like Andrew Garfield was like talking to that freaking to him as if like, oh dude, you're a sweet dude, man. You're an awesome guy. Like,
well, because Spider-Man met him and knew what he was like. You know, like
okay, yeah.
Spider-Man did know him and knew what he was. But yeah, I think we're kind of in the same realm, bro. I think he had to be a variant.
Yeah, it must have been something else.
His attitude is even different. Like they both like power, But this one's more aggressive about getting power than the other one was.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just like, that's my, like, it's got to be a variant for him. Something, just for him.
Something's different about him, yeah. But yeah. That's interesting. Also, what was funny too was like, he was like, damn, like, you know, you being broke, you know, and like saving
poor people.
Saving poor people. I thought you were black.
I was pretty sure you were black. Which, it's funny because that's a thing in the comics. Often, a lot of people like that get saved by Spider-Man. They're like, "Damn!" Like if he gets, sometimes he'll get a cut or like take his glove off. I'm like, "Damn! I thought you were black." Like it's come up in the comics before.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
yeah. So I like that.
And then he says,
"There's got to be a Spider-Man, a black Spider-Man
out there somewhere,
somewhere in the multiverse."
Yeah. Hints.
There you go. Hints? Yeah, man. There's nothing else it could be.
Right.
Okay. Other stuff. So, Peter Parker struggles with darkness and wanting to kill Green Goblin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That got kind of dark, yeah.
And Toby stops him and just stares at him like, come on, man, this isn't you. And then eventually he gives up and stops trying to do it. So, this kind of gives me some theories about where we're going with this. Where this is going, where this universe is going, you know? But real quick, Doctor Strange recasts the spell. We see rifts opening in the universe, and Dr. Strange starts saying, I can't hold them back anymore.
Yeah.
And we see some outlines of some characters. Now, there's not many I can make out. A lot of them are fuzzy.
I can only make out two right away.
Yeah.
And that's freaking Dude with the Staff, freaking Kraven, and Scorpion. Those are the only two that I can make
out. You saw Scorpion?
I saw Scorpion.
I can make out Kraven and Rhino.
Rhino. Okay, you saw Rhino. Okay.
Okay, so all right. There we go. We got some stuff here.
Yeah.
So all the villains that will eventually know he is Spider-Man, which we know for sure that Kraven and Scorpion cannot be included in that because they've never existed.
At least the MCU movies. Versions, but who knows from what universe they were from, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No movie has ever done Scorpion or Kraven, so I'm like, we know that that's like nothing we could know about.
Yeah, but nothing we know about, but like in some universe, someone knows about it.
But funny enough, Kraven and Scorpion are casted, and so was Rhino. You know, Paul Giamatti, it was Rhino in Amazing Spider-Man too.
Yeah, yeah.
So
like, even Andrew Garfield mentions him too. Like, I fought some crazy Russian guy in a rhino suit.
In a rhino suit. Which is funny. You know what's funny? Paul Giamatti's wearing a tracksuit while he's inside of the fucking rhino.
Interesting.
He's in a red tracksuit. I don't know. I don't think that means anything, but I just found it funny. You know, like that's a thing there.
You're right.
Yeah, and so villains are coming through. Doctor Strange is trying to hold the timeline part. You know what's really interesting? I felt like people didn't catch the rips where they were coming through started to look like He Who Remains, like the world he lived in.
Yeah.
And
so kind of that purplish color, right? Yeah.
And some of that smoke looked like it was shaping into something from that. Was it becoming Eliath?
I don't know who that is.
You remember Eliath?
No, maybe
Eliath
I do.
Was the giant fucking demon dog that He Who Remains was controlling. That he said was made from tears in the universe.
Wow, okay.
It's made from tears in the universe. So this goes to my theory that Marvel is in a time loop. That He Who Remains, and it's pretty clear from what He Who Remains says. He says, either you guys work with me and we fix the multiverse together, or you kill me. The multiversal war starts again, and eventually I end up right back here anyway when I conquer Eliath and kill all the other kings. That implies there's a time loop. And I'm wondering if the rips starting here, going further into Multiverse of Madness, is what creates Eliath. And then we see a king in our timeline that fucking tries to take control of Eliath to save everybody. So maybe at the very end of all this, Secret Wars thing. Yeah. Forget Loki. Like, even let's say Secret Wars at the end. All the heroes do all their crazy shit and fighting. But at the end of the day, Kang saves everybody by creating Eliath. Creating a loop right back into fucking Loki.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where it ends again, right?
And which is and why then he has a script that he knows how it's going to go. Because it keeps fucking happening.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So then, if that's the case, I like that. So then what if Loki season 2... is all that's already done and happened. We're back where we started. And he's like, told you I'm going to be here again. I'm like, you should have helped me. You saw it all cycled through. This is after we get all the Marvel shit.
So
maybe in a couple
saying.
Of years from now, Loki season 2 happened because we already circled around.
Maybe Ant-Man breaks the cycle.
Or maybe it's that, yeah.
Because, you know, Kang's going to be the main villain of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. AJ, yeah, I could see season 2.
Something like that.
Maybe that's how season 2 ends. He's like, you want to try again?
Yeah.
No, you want to make a different decision? You know, because it's going to happen again anyway.
Yeah, you're back here again, yeah. So I don't know, maybe that's the thing. I don't know. But that's something to look into. I kind of want to go see it again to catch all these little moments that people were mentioning, stuff like that. Want to do a double take on all my suspicions that they purposely combed fucking Tom Holland's hair to look like Tobey Maguire.
I'm going
to
be watching
Garfield.
For that next time I yeah. watch it, man. Okay, other quick things. Just real quick recap. He tells Ned and MJ he will find them. And
oh, yeah, because he's like, you know what? Just let everyone who knows I'm Spider-Man just go ahead and wipe everyone's memory. Does not even deal with the technicalities in this one.
Also, Doctor Strange says this will include me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will know about Peter Parker anymore. Peter Parker will be gone from people's minds.
He's just like, do it.
So as long as you're cool with that. And Peter's like, fucking do it.
Yeah.
Which is the most Spider-Man decision ever, bro. To give up everything and live a shitty life.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone else can have a normal life.
Right.
You know, like, to choose to be hated because he wants his friends and family to have a normal life. Most Spider-Man decision you could ever make. Tony would never make that decision.
Right.
Matt would never make that decision. You know, Black Widow would never make quite that decision. That's a fucking Peter Parker thing. So I feel like they did a great job with that movie. Like, just really feeling like a Spider-Man choice.
Yeah. In a way, you're right. Iron Man, Tony Stark did not do that. He found a way around it. He's like, we're going to do this shit, but we're keeping everything how it is right now and just bringing people back. We're not going back to the past. I'm not going to lose all this shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, he wouldn't lose everything. He just wouldn't accept it. Yeah. He's like, we're going to try it again. I'm going to go tell them who I am and let's fucking do it again. You know?
Yeah.
But Peter's like, you know what? I'm going to let it go. I'm going to take myself out of the equation. I'm going to let them have a life.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is, I hate to say it because it's very weird and controversial. Besides Enter the Spider-Verse, I think this is undeniably the best Spider-Man movie because it concludes every storyline and it's just so Spider-Man at its core. Like, he gives himself up to so everyone else can have a regular fucking normal life. So cool.
Most people like I've talked to about it have said this is the best Spider-Man movie so far. So I'm like,
it was cool.
I liked it a lot.
Only competition to me is Enter the Spider-Verse because that movie's fucking wild.
Just as wild.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thing about the whole thing in conclusion to all this, too, because now everyone forgot about him. He even, like, met up with Happy. Happy didn't even know who the fuck he was.
Yeah, but did you notice Happy remembered Spider-Man?
He knows Spider-Man. Doesn't know Peter Parker. So that's kind of crazy. So the spell worked. No one knows who he is. He's completely forgotten. Forgotten so much that he's not even in high school anymore. So he has to go fucking take his GED on his own and shit so he can get to college later on, too, right? So he's like no record. My question about all that, actually, before we go into my conclusion and shit, is what about those videos that exist on like from freaking Mysterio that say Peter Parker is Spider-Man? The videos from J. Jonah Jameson from the Daily Bugle and all that show Spider-Man is Peter Parker, his face, his name, and all that.
I thought about this.
What happens in the newspapers if you know anything written?
So
all that media.
So I have one thing that's a theory about the MCU and how they could attack it and how maybe they are attacking it. And I have one thing that's a comic thing that's probably more accurate. So what they could be doing in the movies, in the live action, is saying that, and this isn't how it is in the comics, everything related to Peter Parker has been stricken from the record. All that shit is
gone. So it's just
gone.
Like disappeared, just gone.
Yeah, and then reality refolds itself to make that make sense. You know, how does all this work without taking Peter Parker out of the equation?
Right.
But that's made up in my head. That's just a guess about how the movies are doing.
Yeah, no one has told us how it goes yet.
Yeah, but now
that's
this
theory.
Now this theory I have is from the comics, so I feel like this is probably more accurate as to what it is. Anything recorded about Peter Parker, you see it, and you're like, I can't see that. Like, what is this?
Like, you kind of just your brain just ignores it.
Yeah, your brain ignores. You do recognize the thing, but you're just like,
you see it, it's there.
Like, I don't get it,
and you're like, okay, whatever.
And you just throw it away, and you're like, I don't get it. And you just like, whatever.
Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Huh.
And that's how it works in the comics.
Interesting.
And that's how it works in the comics when Sentry is forgotten about. He uses his power to make the world forget about him. And here's the thing. In the comics, Peter Parker wins a Pulitzer Prize from taking a picture of Sentry. Peter Parker does not remember ever fucking winning that Pulitzer Prize.
Interesting.
Because it's just not a thing. And he has it in his room. Doesn't think about it.
That's
crazy. He looks at it and it means nothing to him. It's like it's not there. And so I'm going to guess based on if it's going to follow the comics, that'd be the best way to explain it. People can see the Mysterio video and they hear all the Spider-Man shit they're saying, but they're like, I don't know what his point is. I don't know what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
And they just like skip the video.
That's crazy. Yeah. So I guess we'll see what they do with that in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the second thing I was right about, I've always said, because there's a lot of complaints about Spider-Man the Homecoming series that, you know, oh, this isn't Spider-Man, he's too young, this is like not what the canon Spider-Man, he's supposed to be like fucking living on his own and fucking fighting against money problems and being an adult and taking responsibility for shit. I've always said the Marvel movies don't give you the characters as you know them in the comics. They make you build to them and to make them slowly become who they are, specifically Iron Man. And you can see it in both their outfit designs and in their personality. Iron Man, perfect example. He slowly becomes a justice guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants to fucking fix things for more than just himself. And that's reflected when he fights Thanos. He's wearing the comic accurate outfit all of a sudden, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with Spider-Man. And I've been saying this. I'm telling you, but you've been listening to me. Same thing with Spider-Man. I'm like, Homecoming, he's not Spider-Man yet. That's why. He's getting there. Far From Home, he's not Spider-Man there. He's getting there. No Way Home. And it was confirmed in No Way Home when Aunt May dies and gives him the great power, great responsibility speech.
Yeah.
You see, this is what I'm talking about. They're putting him slowly in the status quo of the comic that we know.
Yeah.
And that's very clear by the ending, because the end of the movie, they give a little wink to comic fans of Spider-Man. He walks into a shitty fucking apartment.
Yep.
He has a sewing machine. He sewed the fucking Spider-Man suit.
Yep.
And even the costume looks like the comic costume. Blue, bright blue and red.
Yep.
Same scheme. None of the Tony Stark things. None of the Iron Spider shit. Exactly like the comic book. And he's web-swinging classic style in the big city.
Yeah.
Not in a small town. Not in Europe. In fucking New York City. So, like, yeah, they brought him full circle back into exactly what he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Called it. I told you guys, that's what they're going to do. I was like, stop getting worried about where Spider-Man's going. I'm like, they're going to get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sure enough, here we are. We're there now.
So, like, to tie in with that, too, this whole movie, I felt like just got rid of everything that was just kind of oddball about Spider-Man.
Happy Hogan. Connection to Iron Man.
The young Aunt May.
Aunt May.
Got rid of that.
Weird MJ.
MJ. Best friend is Ned. I guess that happens at some point, but like not that early, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, here's a weird thing about Ned, right? So in the comics, you know, his best friend is Ned Leeds in the OG comics, but in the Ultimates...
It's Harry.
Harry? No, it's in the Ultimates. Sorry, in the OG stuff, it is Harry. But Ned Leeds is a good friend of his, right? Mm-hmm. In the Ultimates... It's a guy, and his name is, I forget his name, Munch or something like that. I think that's his nickname is Munch.
Okay.
But guess what? That character is his guy. Like, he calls himself the guy in the chair, this character Munch. And he's literally in Spider-Man's ear, in Peter Parker's ear, fucking helping him, because they're both young, you know?
Right, right.
And he's actually working with Miles Morales.
Hmm.
Not Peter, but Miles. And he's like his guy in the chair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a Filipino dude. He's kind of fat. And he's a tech guy.
Oh, they got weird things all...
So, it's very weird they made him Peter Parker's sidekick, but then called him Ned Leeds.
Yeah.
So, they really mixed that character. He's really a mix of, like, both. And, like...
Yeah.
Which is very Marvel, but just very confusing as to where they're
Taichi says Genk.
Genki? Thank you. Sorry, Genki. Yeah, there you go. The Genki. Thank you. Thank you, Taichi. I appreciate that.
So I think that this whole thing was just to... In a way, kind of retcon all those things that were tying him down. The fact that everyone knew that he was Spider-Man so early, him being an Avenger,
all that
just kind of just wiped clean. And now he has a fresh start as Spider-Man, like how we were supposed to know him, not with all this fame and, you know, popularity and stuff like that.
And you know what? Not only does this bring him back to the status quo of the comics, this also makes both Sony and Marvel have synergy. Because now...
Oh, here's our magic word again from T, synergy. Yeah,
you don't have to worry... why the Avengers don't come to help him. Because they don't remember.
They don't know him.
You know? They know he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They know he's helped them. But him actually being an Avenger is connected to Peter Parker.
Hmm.
And they don't remember Peter Parker.
Yeah.
So to them, they remember working with Spider-Man. Yeah, they know Spider-Man's a hero. But he's not one of them.
Hmm.
He's not a team member of the Avenger. And I'm like... There you go, man. Like, everything's fucking in there where it should be.
Yeah.
And now Sony can fucking connect him to Morbius, connect him to Vulture, connect him to Venom. And it's not weird that the other heroes don't come help him.
Yeah.
Because they don't fucking know who he is, you know? I'm like, you guys are clever. I'm like, this is fucking smart. Like, this gets you to do whatever you want to do. And Also, so I will say that I do feel like this leads to a possible plot line where Nick Fury or Captain Marvel do remember him because they were not on Earth for the spell.
Right.
And so maybe when Nick Fury comes back and he's like, I know you don't know me, but I need your help. He's like, of course I know you. You're Peter Parker. You're Spider-Man. And Captain Marvel's like, you're Peter Parker, right? Didn't you introduce yourself to me?
Yeah.
And he's like, you remember me? And she's like,
yeah.
It was only a fucking interdimensional war against aliens on Earth. I remember you, jackass. Like, you know, and he's like, oh shit, nice. Like,
yeah.
I could see that definitely happening.
That's cool.
Because they weren't on Earth.
You know? And Thor 2, then maybe the Guardians.
Guardians, I don't know if they took the time to. Oh, no, you're
they
right.
They did meet.
They did. Yeah, they met.
Who's Gamora? Why is Gamora?
I'll tell you one better. Yeah. Why is Gamora? Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, Thor, they may all remember who he is. Yeah,
they all dusted together up there, too.
And this is
Thanos knows him, right?
And I also think this is a good reason to make sure he stays out of Young Avengers.
Hmm.
Because Spider-Man never joins the Young Avengers. And if he's that age and they all know about him and know him, wouldn't they try to get him to join them?
Mm-hmm.
But this way, nobody remembers him. So there's no reason for, you know, Hawkeye, Haley Steinfeld, or anybody to go fucking find him.
Yeah.
Because they don't remember him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so that's just, I just thought it was really clever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's very clever how they, like, made both Sony and Marvel happy about what's going forward.
Yeah. That's cool. Does that mean that now Sony can just take him wherever they want now? Like, oh, he's not connected to your freaking MCU anymore. We'll take Spider-Man whatever we want. So we may not even see Spider-Man and MCU shit again in the future, right?
No.
You don't think it's going to go that way?
They made it very clear that Sony and Marvel have a very good relationship together.
Okay, fine.
Feige said he's involved in the next 3 Spider-Man movies coming out. So that's not happening.
All right.
However, Feige did say Spider-Man is the only Marvel character that can jump cinematic universes. So I do think what you're saying could come to pass. They could use him in a Sony movie and just try to just not talk about the Marvel shit.
Mm.
And say, oh yeah, he's here now. And it's fine. It makes sense. Don't worry about it. Now they can actually do that and it won't be too weird.
Yeah, okay.
So I think you got a point there. You got a point there.
So I'm just saying, just preparing you guys for the future. What could happen?
Mm-hmm.
Amy Pascal and Kevin Feige have been working together for over 20 years now. It's crazy.
That doesn't mean shit. They had beef just a year ago. But yeah, you're right. Now
that means it would have been 21 years. But because of the beef, it's 20 years now.
Oh, shit. Damn, took a year off of that shit.
Yeah, it was Tom Rothman.
Oh, well, Tai Chi knows more about it than I do. Okay, never mind. I don't understand. Maybe there's more to it than I get.
And then, okay, final credit thingy at the end. So, Venom.
Yeah, man. Venom. It was very... again, here's something I was wrong about. As I said that I thought Venom and Spider-Man were going to team up and he was going to copy Spider-Man's power.
Yeah.
However, I don't think I was completely wrong because I'm starting to see some shit happening here. A piece of Venom was left in the Marvel Universe.
It's a piece of the symbiote.
And so neither of us have seen the Venom movie.
Yeah, the second dog, Let There Be Carnage.
So I'm going to give you some context as to where this is going, AJ.
I also heard about it, too.
Oh, you know.
So
okay.
I heard that, you know, at the end of the movie, before the thing that we already know about where the fucking world changed around fucking Eddie Brock and Venom, and then
they got brought out here.
Yeah, and then you see freaking Joe Jameson showing, this is Peter Parker, Spider-Man on TV. Before that happened, apparently they were having a conversation where Venom, the symbiote, was telling Eddie Brock where he's from. There's a whole hive mind of Venom
that stretches
over universes.
Across the multiverse.
Yeah.
I think he also said through time, too.
Is it through time, too? Whatever, but...
Yeah, but basically, the symbiotes have a hive mind that ignores multiverses and timelines. So, that being said, we just got Tobey Maguire showing up in the Spider-Man movie, right?
Yeah.
And who did Tobey Maguire fight in his third movie? Eddie Brock.
And a symbiote, right?
Symbiote. And Eddie Brock knew... He was Peter Parker.
The symbiote knew that he was Peter Parker.
Well, Eddie Brock knew, and the symbiote learned it from him.
Because the symbiote was on Peter Parker, Black Suit Spider-Man.
Oh, no, you're right. I see what you're saying. No, you're right. The symbiote knew.
Yeah.
You're right. That's true.
And then he went to freaking Eddie Brock
afterwards.
And
that's how Eddie Brock knew.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. That is true. And so, that means his identity is known to a symbiote.
Mm-hmm.
Since they share a hive mind across universes.
All symbiotes know.
Which explains the end credit scene where the symbiote jumps off of Eddie Brock and he's like, why are we here? And the symbiote tells him, that guy.
Yeah.
And he licks the screen with Spider-Man's face. Eddie Brock doesn't know. Venom knows. Yep. That's why they were brought there with the spell.
Yeah, yeah, because the spell only brings people who know Spider-Man is Peter Parker. And Eddie Brock didn't know that, but the symbiote knew it.
Yep.
So that's why he's there. And but when they disappear, now this is the other thing too that I'm thinking about too. Like Eddie Brock disappeared back into his universe at the end, right? Mm-hmm. But Eddie Brock doesn't know Spider-Man.
So
why did he go back?
Because he's connected. Because he's attached to the symbiote.
Just because he's attached to the symbiote. That's all.
That's why he's there in the first place.
And then how? Because
he's attached to the symbiote.
Okay, yeah. Fine. That makes sense. I just wanted an answer for that. But then, how was a piece of the symbiote able to just latch off and stay behind? Is it because of how strong that Hive Mind is and how great their universing fucking multi?
The only reason you don't know is because we didn't see Let There Be Carnage.
I guess so, huh?
But in Let There Be Carnage.
Ah, okay. I need to go watch this then.
And Let There Be Carnage. Cletus Kasady bites Eddie Brock and gets a little piece of his blood that mm-hmm. has the symbiote infused in his system.
Okay.
That little bit of blood with a little bit of symbiote infused spawns off into its whole separate symbiote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still connected to their fucking multiverse of information.
Mm-hmm.
So that little piece knows about Peter Parker.
Yeah, I understand that. Right? I get that. But why did it go back when the spell was done where he made everyone go back?
Because it's a separate entity now.
Okay, so
yeah,
that's
now
why.
Now it's separate. It got cut off from him. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Mm.
And I'm guessing it's because of the inaccuracy of the spell because they weren't there with him.
Maybe,
so, like,
I don't know.
It cut him off from a certain range and yeah. now the piece must have the intelligence to go look for Parker.
I guess, yeah. So...
fucking wild.
Maybe dude. Next Spider-Man movie we'll see some symbiote. Does that mean we're gonna get a new Eddie Brock now though?
Well, this brings me into the talks of the future. This is the other thing that I pointed out that I was correct about, like Spider-Man, you know, going into college years and being separate and being disconnected from Avengers and being broke again. And my evolution of this thought is that he's gonna start dealing with those problems like he did in the comics. So one thing he dealt with in the comics once he was in college by himself separate was J. Jonah Jameson
mm-hmm.
funding this random thug to get a suit that would let him counter Spider-Man. Who is this random thug? Matt Gargan. And what does Matt Gargan base his suit off of? The being that is a natural predator to spiders. A scorpion.
Mm.
So J. Jonah Jameson is on Spider-Man's ass right now. Spider-Man makes him look bad once. Then Jameson starts funneling his money to fund this Scorpion character.
Mm.
And we got Scorpion in Homecoming.
Yep, yep.
And he wants Spider-Man dead.
Yeah.
So here we go. He funds him. He fucking goes off the handle. And just like in the comics, he tries to kill J. Jonah Jameson too. Spider-Man saves J. Jonah Jameson from Scorpion, knocking him out, putting him in jail, right?
Yep. Okay.
So Spider-Man gets the black suit on him. Fucking corrupts him. Now he deals with the darkness he felt when he was fighting Willem Dafoe.
Mm.
You know, and the symbiote is part of that whole darkness. Brings out the darker sides of you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was his problem. He was going to kill Willem Dafoe, right?
Yeah.
Also, there's parallels with college years. When you're a college student, you learn about, you know, yourself. You learn about your darkness, your adult self, what you like in relationships, money problems specifically. Yep. Money problems are already happening for him.
Yep.
Because he has no Stark connection anymore.
Yep.
Girl problems could be Felicia Hardy, a.k.a. Cat, Black Cat. And then identity crisis would come from the black suit. Right? So the reason I bring up Scorpion is because in the comic books, when they make the Dark Avengers, there is a character posing as Spider-Man. And he's doing it because he has the black suit on him.
Mm.
And so he forces the black suit to kind of make his body look like in the shape of Spider-Man. A little skinnier, you know, like a little more like that, like lean.
Right, right.
But when the symbiote is off of the camera eye, when it's fucking regular and he's struggling, it's fucking Scorpion with the Venom symbiote on him.
Interesting.
And Scorpion is trying to control the symbiote.
Yeah, yeah.
So he can stay looking like Spider-Man.
Yeah, interesting.
And so I'm like, the fact that he's in there, I feel like these are the future problems he's going to deal with. Also, money problems. Who's a perfect counter for Spider-Man to deal with money problems? Kingpin.
Oh, okay.
Someone who has unlimited money.
Yeah.
The perfect counter for Peter Parker, you know?
Yep, yep, yep.
So that's where I think this whole next three movies are going. Scorpion, Black Cat, Kingpin. Those are the three villains. Maybe Scorpion will hire both. Maybe Kingpin will hire both of them. Maybe J. Jonah Jameson will hire Scorpion.
Yeah.
But I think those three characters are going to loop around to a whole trilogy and eventually go to Dark Avengers for Spider-Man.
Okay, okay.
Just a guess. I don't know. But guess, basing off what I was right about where Spider-Man ended up being, this is my next fucking premonition for Spider-Man's future.
Fantastic Four crossover, so Saichi as well.
You know, I thought if we were going to get it, we would have gotten this end credit scene. I really don't see.
I think it's too soon still.
But is it though?
We don't know how far. We know that they're planning it, but I don't think they even gotten anything down for that yet, right?
I guess not. The only reason I'm saying story-wise is because Spider-Man, when he first goes solo, first breaks into his own apartment, and, you know, doing his own thing, he has no money, right? And he's like, you know what I'm going to do to make money? I'm going to try to join the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Because they're the most famous Marvel superhero team. If I join them, I can get paid.
You know what?
And so what he does, he breaks into their fucking building to challenge them and show them he can fucking keep up with them. And they're like, dude, we don't know why you broke in here to attack us. And he's like, I'm just trying to show you guys I can keep up with you guys so I can join the Fantastic Four because I want to get those checks you guys get, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, bro, we don't take any money for what we do. And he was like, what?
Yeah.
You guys don't take any money for what you do?
Yo, you know what that would make sense to right now? Not because he's broke, but when the Fantastic Four gets established, they're a team. There's four people on that team. Almost the same number of, like, Avengers, you know, just missing a couple, right? And there's no Avengers right now, so maybe he's looking like, damn, I was good when I had a team, had the Avengers, that teamwork he was talking about in the movie, too. He was good at teamwork because he's worked with the Avengers. They're not a rock band, guys. It was a fucking team of superheroes, right? So now maybe he's missing that feeling, like, oh, fuck, man, I miss having the Avengers around.
These
Fantastic Four people are pretty cool. They're new around. Let me go get a job with them. So
he's like, hey, guys, I'm the experienced guy. I'm going to help you out in this whole superhero world. And they're like, right? We're good. Like,
yeah.
I could see that, AJ. That'd be pretty good.
Maybe that's how that would connect.
Maybe.
Again, you know, we spitballing here again. But I guess we're kind of right with some of the stuff, right?
We were pretty accurate about a lot of shit, man. So I'm like, we should keep going. And that's why I'm like, this is my next theory. Scorpion, Kingpin, Black Cat, Spider-Man dealing with the college years, brokenness, darkness, and women. Like, you know, like weird women, especially. You know, you meet women outside of your spectrum when you go to college because, you know, they're not all from your area anymore.
You think we'll see that in Gwen? You think we'll get another Gwen? You don't think we'll get Gwen again?
I don't think they're going to touch her.
Okay.
And that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I think they're going to save her so that way when they do an Enter the Spider-Verse movie, Spider-Gwen can be a character. Until then, I don't think they're going to touch her. They want her to stay fresh, you know?
Okay.
Just opinion. Yes, that's my prediction about where these Spider-Man movies are going. I feel like we caught almost everything. Anything else you want to say, AJ?
About Spider-Man? No, I think I'm tapped out.
Spider-Man tapped out. We're going to go into Hawkeye now. Real quick, before we talk about Hawkeye, let's just talk about some connection here. So one thing people are pointing out is that Spider-Man, in the end of No Way Home, swings by the big-ass Christmas tree.
Yeah, the big-ass Christmas tree. There was a skating rink and all that.
And what is it called? Something Rock?
Rockefeller?
Yeah. Wherever the Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, the Rockefeller Center, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big Christmas tree. Spider-Man swings right by it.
Yep.
That Christmas tree is a big point in Hawkeye.
Rockefeller Center.
30 Rock, yeah, there you go. That's a big point in Spider-Man is that he swings by that fucking Christmas tree.
Yeah, at the very end, yeah.
A big plot hole that people are claiming online right now is that really, Spider-Man sat there and watched all the Hawkeye shit go down when he lives apartment down the street he didn't do anything about it? It's not a plot hole. Spider-Man does not take place in Christmas. It's not snowing. Yeah. It's just barely becoming winter at the very end of Spider-Man. So if you guys think carefully about it, Spider-Man takes place 2 or 3 weeks before Hawkeye.
Yep.
It's not a plot hole. He's not sitting in his apartment watching this go down, ignoring it. You know, seeing the Kingpin in the tracks, he's not ignoring that. This is 2 weeks before Hawkeye and Kate Bishop are even doing their shit.
Yeah.
Now, we don't even know if Spider-Man's in the apartment after that point. Maybe he fucking, you know, wants to go connect with other people. Maybe he's doing other things.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know.
We don't know what he's doing.
All you need to know is that he's not there for that shit. He's not even moved in yet.
Yeah.
So that's not a plot hole. That's all.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. But yeah, we do see that at the end there. And then, so Hawkeye. Last, the finale, right?
So for anyone who's disengaging from Spider-Man spoilers, if you haven't seen Hawkeye, we are now talking about Hawkeye spoilers.
Yeah, my bad.
So we're going to talk about the ending of Hawkeye. If you don't want to know, tune off. We're not talking about Spider-Man anymore. We're moving into Hawkeye. Okay, Hawkeye.
So we start off with the boy we saw in the last episode, right at the end.
Dude, it was
fucking
great.
Kingpin. We get to see him in the flesh, the cane, the
suit. Mean one, Mr. Grinch. Which, right. By the way, that's so his theme song, the
right.
Grinch song.
Yeah, I feel like it for sure. That felt appropriate in the last episode.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, Kingpin rolls through and freaking...
Threatening Kate's mom.
That's right. That's who it was, yeah. So, yeah, it turns around like freaking Jack, not even the main bad guy here at all. It was just Kingpin in the shadows the whole time.
I was wrong, guys. I mean...
That was crazy.
Yeah, Kingpin is the mastermind. I thought the mom might be the mastermind, but...
I kind of thought so, too, but it was just more her Yeah, exactly, and just being fooled a little bit and just hiding shit from Kate, from her daughter. So that was an interesting way to go. Mm-hmm. And then Echo goes and confronts freaking Jon Snow over there. What's his name?
Kazi. He does look like Jon Snow. That's funny.
I keep calling him Jon Snow throughout the whole series.
Yeah, Kazi and... She confronted Kazi and Kingpin, actually.
And Kingpin, too. That's right, yeah.
Which you can see their connection there when they fucking turn on her in the next scene. Like, oh, okay, Kazi was the one that fucking made the whole Ronin thing happen for Kingpin.
Yeah.
Because immediately after she leaves, they fucking kind of start talking shit low-key. Mm-hmm. Like, she's a threat now. Like, yeah. We shouldn't have her around anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So that was crazy to see all that go down, how that was all set up. Yeah, and just Hawkeye and fucking Kate Bishop doing their thing, going undercover, getting the LARPing crew together, right, to help them out. Like, it was cool. I don't know. I feel like the whole end finale of this was kind of, like, it was awesome to see fucking Kingpin, but what? I don't know. The ending, it wasn't as big as I thought it was going to be. It felt like a low-key big.
What's
like,
bigger than Kingpin?
I don't, that's but a like, big I just say, Kingpin fucking, I'm glad to fucking see him and everything. But, like, I don't know.
Bro, the trick arrow scene in the fucking ice rink, you didn't love that? Like,
I know,
that wasn't
I did.
Big enough for you?
That
like,
was awesome, too, honestly. Yeah. It was, I don't know. It was something about it just felt like I wanted more. I don't know. I guess I just want more episodes of this shit. It's like, we only got six.
If
man.
You're just saying because you liked it, I get it. Because
yeah,
I felt the same thing. Like, towards the end, I was like, damn, I wish there was, like, one more episode.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Because it was fun. And, like, we finally got to the climax, and now it's just done. Like, that was too fast. Like, shit. And I want to see more Kingpin and like what he's been doing this whole time. Like I wanted more of an explanation of why he's there, where he came from, and tell me about fucking the Netflix series. Is this real or not? You know.
Well, AJ, guess what? I think you just hit the jackpot. Oh, I'll even quote a famous line from the Spider-Man comics: "Tiger, you just hit the jackpot."
Okay.
That's what Mary Jane tells Spider-Man. She calls him Tiger.
Yeah, yeah.
Which did you catch the reference that Betty Brant called him Tiger?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So check it. You just hit the jackpot, bro. I'm gonna tell you. So, we actually got some answers to the Netflix things.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what they are. So, there's a few things that come off as just comic book references. Like, the fact that Kingpin rolls up with a cane.
Yeah.
You know, which he never has a cane.
I think we saw him, yeah. That's
he never has a cane in the Netflix one. But in the comic books, him with the diamond cane is a fucking thing.
Okay.
He don't like to roll without the diamond cane, you know? Mm. Also, he's wearing a white suit top.
Yep.
And purple pants. That's Kingpin from the comics.
Mm.
That's identical. That's how he looks. He wears a white suit, purple pants, and a fucking diamond cane.
Yeah.
Now, so that's from ground level, that sounds like evidence why he's a variant, right?
Okay, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now why he's the Netflix one. One, the last thing we saw about Kingpin is that Daredevil threatened him and told him, if you want to continue your crime operation shit, I got evidence against you, and I will put Vanessa in jail. Right next to
that's
you.
True, yeah.
He's like, and then Kingpin got all fucking mad and threw a fit and shit. He's like, you can do whatever you want. He's like, do your crime shit if you want, but just know if you do your crime shit, I'm gonna put fucking Vanessa in jail right next to you. So supposedly that's why Kingpin backs off and goes to jail in the end of, you know, Daredevil season 3.
Right.
Spoiler for Daredevil season 3. Sorry. However, this is after the snap when they've already said crime went into chaos. As soon as the snap happened. And guess what? Maybe Kingpin weaseled his way out of fucking prison because maybe Daredevil was snapped.
Hmm.
And I can't confirm that, but I can tell you this. Kingpin became a problem in the criminal world for Hawkeye during the snap. That tells me no one was there to check him.
Okay, that's true too. Yeah, because Hawkeye had to be there to check him, right? Because Daredevil wasn't there to check him.
But Hawkeye said he couldn't check him because Kingpin even tipped Hawkeye off using him to kill off a criminal organization that was really Kingpin's enemies. So even Kingpin, even Hawkeye wasn't enough to stop Kingpin. Even he ended up working for him in a weird fucking way. Yeah. So I'll go further. Kingpin might be using that cane because Daredevil broke his knee at the end of season 3. Remember they fought? Daredevil whooped his ass.
Yeah.
Fucking had him on his knees all fucked up and shit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's using the cane.
Okay.
I'll go further for that. Kingpin always has meetings in the Netflix in his nice-ass fucking room or in his big-ass company building or his hotel where he's got shit under control. Where is he at when he meets Kate Bishop's mom? In the back house of a store. In this little fucking small office thing that, you know, looks thrown together like and shit.
So he's hiding out now?
He might be hiding from fucking Daredevil because now the snap's undone. And Daredevil's back out to fucking...
And we know he's there. We know he exists.
And we know he exists from Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, maybe Daredevil is now threatening his... He's afraid Daredevil could threaten his new criminal organization that he's established. And this gets reinforced by him telling Kazi, it's time to remind the city who's in charge.
Mm.
As in, maybe they didn't know because he was being secretive.
Yeah.
And now that he's back in control... And he's not afraid anymore. He's like, no, fuck that. I'm coming back into the shadow, out of the shadows.
Okay.
Kingpin, bitch.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm back into it.
And then Taiji mentioned, and he got something about small businesses now, like Fat Man Tires.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, Taiji. That's a good point. Mm. He's doing small businesses to make his money back. There you go. That's some good reasons right there.
I like that. And the fact that Kate Bishop actually fought like Kingpin, I didn't expect that to happen. I was expecting more of a showdown between Hawkeye and Kingpin, maybe, but not the newbie, Kate Bishop.
You know, and I had one of my friends say he didn't like the fact that she was able to keep up with him because it diminishes Kingpin because he's like, you know, he was so bad before.
Yeah.
But I was pointing out to my friend, like, did you miss the point where he got hit by a giant fucking limo car right before he started fighting Kate?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
He got hit by a giant limo car that put a hole in a wall.
Yeah.
And somehow he got up like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Shit. That was rough. Like, I was like, okay, he's a little discombobulated. So I'm like, I feel like
it makes
sense.
Got hit by a freaking car. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel so like it kind of makes sense why he couldn't defeat Kate so quick, you know? And she has trick arrows, which he's never dealt with.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, there's that.
It's like an explosion to the face.
Mm-hmm.
So Saichi, yep.
And I'm going to go further, too, here with this. I feel like Kate's mom had a hands-off deal with Kingpin about her daughter. Because she tells him, my daughter's where the line gets drawn. He's like, there's no lines in this business. He's like, no. I told you, my daughter cannot be involved in this. Which almost makes me feel like that's why he never tried to recruit her. Why wouldn't he try? If he's into recruiting Maya, why wouldn't he be keeping an eye on one of his employees' daughters that's a fucking state champion in swordsmanship and martial arts and archery?
Yeah.
You'd think he'd want her to be one of his pawns.
Right.
I feel like the mom made a deal with him, says, you leave my fucking daughter alone, I'll make you a gang of money.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why he didn't kill her. Because he was like, and he kept telling her, go away.
Yeah.
Mind your own business.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe he was just trying not to kill her because it's part of the deal. Because. He was, even though it looked like he was getting scary with Eleanor, he told her, we have to talk. Come with me. So I think he was trying to do what he did to his subordinates in the Daredevil show. He was trying to bully her into keep working for him.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to kill her. He wasn't going to kill Kate. He wants her to work for him.
Yeah.
He wants to keep her under his thumb.
Yeah.
So he can keep making some money.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I don't know. That's just my take from what I got from it. I'm like, I feel like he was holding back on purpose. Like, he didn't want to kill Kate, you know?
Yeah, I don't doubt that. But it's just like, that fight was pretty cool to see them fight like that. But
it was
like,
a good fight.
Yeah, that was cool to see. The whole fucking big ass fight with the bros and everything, that was dope. the freaking Pymtech arrow and how it shrunk the fucking car. I was like, what do we do with them now?
I gotta ask Scott about that.
Yeah, I gotta ask Scott about that. And then that owl comes through, like,
oh my god.
All right, I guess it's out of our hands.
We don't have to ask Scott now. That was so good.
I was like, damn, that's sad. But like, that's a good point. Like, okay, what do you do now? Like, I don't know.
All right, my favorite scene in the whole fucking show, bro. Yelena and fucking Hawkeye in the elevator.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, man.
And then Kate, that, you mean Kate?
Kate, yeah. Yeah. I said what I said. She's Hawkeye now.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Dude, like Kate and fucking Yelena in the elevator just made my fucking night. Like everything in the show was cool. Yeah. Everything was dope. But something about that just gave me an extra tickle I didn't expect.
Just them two together? This is funny. I don't know why.
Yeah, dude. And I have a very strong theory. We're going to get Young Avengers, Dark Avengers, and eventually New Avengers. But before New Avengers come in, you know, like Captain Marvel and Captain America and, you know, Spider-Man, maybe, you know, all the cool ones.
Right.
I think we're going to have Young Avengers versus Dark Avengers, and the Young Avengers are going to lose. And now this reinforces my theory, because if they all fight, Yelena fucking running into Hawkeye again, and Hawkeye's like, "Oh shit!" She's like, "You can't beat me, Kate Bishop." Yeah. Like, yeah, that'd be such a cool dynamic. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Like, you're scared for all the other ones, and like it looks like an epic fight for everyone else, but then Yelena runs into fucking Hawkeye, and she's like, "Oh fuck!"
Yeah. I feel like there'll be a team up, and they're gonna be always bantering with each other, just fucking with each other the whole time, every time. Like, I can see that being a thing for sure, which all for.
And you know how Black Widow betrayed Tony Stark's team in Civil War.
Mm.
I could see Yelena at the last minute betraying the Dark Avengers and joining the Young Avengers.
Okay.
Because she loves fucking Haley. You know, she loves fucking Kate. So anyway, their fight scene.
Yeah, I like that
whole. Yeah, right? It makes sense, right? Yeah. It makes sense. But dude, their whole fight scene, that little fucking thing, they went back and forth. Oh, so great, man. Mm. I loved it. She twisted her around. And then fucking her suit came off and she spun and she was in the Hawkeye suit.
Yeah.
She's like, "Did you plan that?" And she was like, "Yeah." No, I didn't plan that.
Yeah.
That's just so fucking funny, dude. Oh, man. Just so great.
Yeah, she's like, "No, don't do that." Like, she wasn't trying to stop her for real, but she was just really pleading with her. Don't hit on the button. Stop.
Just,
what are you
just
doing?
Stop. Just stop. You're just like, in my way.
Yeah, it's like, "Oh, this is annoying." Yeah, like the whole thing. Like, she's just like really upset with her, but she didn't want to deal with her at the same time.
And I like that. I like that it's because she likes her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not because she, like, you know, she doesn't want to fight. It's not because she doesn't want to have a battle. It's just she wants to kill Clint. So she's like, "I actually like you.
Yeah.
Don't make me kill you. Yeah. I don't want to kill you. Yeah. You're cool, you know?" Like, and just keep fighting. You know, just keeps going down. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah,
really cool shit. Yeah, Hawkeye, we loved it. It was great. Kingpin, dope.
Okay, so the very end, fucking Echo finds Kingpin like on the streets and alley, right? Pulls out a gun.
Do you
on
really?
Him.
Before we talk about this, do you really want me to tell you what happens in the comics? Or do you want to be surprised?
I don't mind knowing, because they might change the whole thing.
They could.
But my guess is that he fucking either stopped it somehow or he pushed it out. Because he's powerful. He's strong. Like, he's not afraid of a gun. He's quick enough to fucking push it out the way. Maybe just take it to the chest because of his bulletproof fucking suit and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's dead. It made it look like it was. I don't think he is.
So you want me to tell you?
But what happens in the comics? Then? Sure.
So in the comics, what happens is Kingpin frames Daredevil, not Ronin, for her dad's death.
Mm, okay.
So she spends most of the fucking comic series trying to kill Daredevil. Meanwhile, Maya is in love with Matt Murdock.
But doesn't know that.
Doesn't know he's Daredevil.
Mm, okay.
So she's trying to kill him. And, you know, he's been doing every trick in the book to tell her, like, "Yo, Kingpin's evil. He's lying to you." And she's like, "No, you killed my dad." And she keeps coming for him, right?
Okay.
And eventually what he does, he takes a stab from her on purpose and grabs a blade and tells her, "I couldn't have killed your dad." And he takes the mask off, because when your dad died, I was 7 years old. And she's like, "Oh shit, Matt." And then she's like, "Fuck, I'm so sorry." And she's like, "Kingpin's been fucking lying to me this whole time."
Okay.
And then she fucking gets mad, and Matt's like, grabs her and says, "No. Don't kill him. Vengeance is not going to make this better for you." He's like, "Don't let him win." And she's like, "Fuck that." And they fight, right?
Okay.
And then eventually, Matt's like, "I'm trying to help you. Don't do this." And she kicks him in the wound she stabbed him in. And she said, "I'm sorry, Matt." And she kicks him where she stabbed him. So he's fucking down, you know, coughing blood and shit. She goes to Kingpin, pulls a gun on him in the exact same way. And he's like, "Maya, we're family. Slow down." And she shoots him in the fucking face. So she does do that.
Damn.
However, you're right. He doesn't die.
Okay.
He lets the world believe he's dead. And Daredevil takes over the Kingpin position.
Whoa.
To keep crime from getting wild in New York.
So will Hawkeye, Clint take over that position?
I have no idea.
Because everything you just explained sound like they just put fucking Hawkeye in that position of Daredevil.
Well,
in
now,
a way.
Well, now that we know,
because he took a fucking beating from her, right, and all that, and told her Kingpin's the one behind this and all that, right?
Well, now that we know what we know about Daredevil, I feel like they could easily put Matt Murdock in that position. Or, if Netflix is real.
You haven't finished Luke Cage yet, have you?
No, don't tell me. But I know that he becomes a crime boss.
Okay.
So it's funny. I was talking to my friend about the comics, and he was saying, wouldn't it be funny if Matt Murdock and Luke Cage ended up being rival crime bosses?
Oh, shit.
Like, that's how they continue the Netflix thing. Like,
but yeah, but what if Luke Cage is in that position instead, just to fucking
could be? Oh, maybe he tries to take Kingpin's spot. Oh, yeah. And then now it's Matt versus Luke. That could be pretty fucking sick. Hmm. Anyway, okay, forget about that for now because that's too sick. I gotta wrap my brain around that. but yeah, so she kills. She thinks she kills Kingpin. Daredevil takes over the spot to hold all the fucking criminal organizations in place so they don't fucking just take over and destroy New York. Right? And then all the other superheroes start coming up to Matt like, bro, I heard you're the Kingpin, bro. What the fuck? What the fuck's going on? Like, you know, are you okay? Like, are you a villain now? Like, what's going on? And Matt's basically having to fucking redeem himself to all the other superheroes. So what if we just take that story and streamline it. He takes Kingpin's spot to keep crime from going out of control. Maya hears in her show there's a new Kingpin, and she goes to fucking kill the new Kingpin.
Yeah.
And then she opens the door, and it's Matt. Mm-hmm. He's like, yo, wait, I'm not trying to do evil shit. I'm trying to keep stuff from happening. But she fights him anyway. Yeah. She's fucking Maya. She doesn't give a fuck, you know?
Right, right.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, she does have her own show. I don't think we know what it's about yet. So
nope, we don't know.
We might get a whole Daredevil Kingpin thing in that show.
And I'll tell you what, the crazy thing is, so once Kingpin gets shot, he keeps it secret that he's alive, and then eventually you find out he is alive, and the shot she shot him in the face with left him blind.
What the fuck?
Just like Daredevil. Isn't that wild?
That happens in the comics? Like, goes blind?
Yep.
What?
She thinks she kills him for 30 issues, and then they reveal he's not dead. But he's blind.
Yeah, so the fact that he gets shot and everything, but yet you're saying that he's going to be like a main thing in Spider-Man, like how's that all going to work now?
Because
he's not dead, okay.
He's not dead.
All right.
He's faking his death, but he's going to leave someone.
So maybe we think he's dead right now until he appears again in Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's my point.
Okay.
And I think if Echo, like, let's say...
Yeah, when's Echo supposed to come out?
We don't know yet. Mm. But I could see, like, her fighting Matt the whole time. I was thinking Matt's the Kingpin. In the last end credits scene... The reveal is that Kingpin's there with some fucking bandages on his eyes. Like, he's like, no one ever said my reign's over. Like, I could just see it. You know, I could see it all unfolding.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, that's interesting. I don't know what to expect from that at all, but that sounds kind of fun right now.
Yeah.
Oh, anything else about Hawkeye right now, though?
No, that's it. Swordsman.
He was,
I love that
badass.
He wasn't the villain.
Yeah.
But he's like, actually, I really like fighting motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Does this give him a future in Dark Avengers or regular Avengers, maybe? Like,
something, yeah.
Or even just as Kate's stepdad.
Like,
that would be hilarious.
Like a mentor for Sword and all that.
Yeah.
At the very least that. But yeah, I'm kind of glad like he's not a bad guy, though, because I feel like that was just too easy to call.
Yeah, so it was. And Marvel knew. They were fucking with us for sure.
And then, like, I don't know, the fact that he's just so, like, happy and shit to fight, like, it was just kind of hilarious to see him, like, I'm down, let's do this, I got my sword.
I love that he was like, this is your moment, Jack. I like that he was like, this is your moment, like, he's been waiting for this his whole life, you know?
So, who killed homie then with the sword?
Mom, they said the mom did it.
Oh, okay.
She just killed him with the sword to make it look like Jack.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
A little cover,
that's right, that's what they're talking about. You're right. Okay, all right, cool, I think...
That's it.
And then fucking Lucky got his name finally called out, right?
Lucky the pizza dog.
Yep. I guess, and then we got the play at the end, right? We got the musical.
That was the best. The best Marvel
thing.
The best Marvel end credit scene since Homecoming.
Oh,
Captain America's patience.
Yeah.
The best one since that.
That's hilarious. And also, by the way, Spider-Man did not realize that Nick Fury wasn't Nick Fury. Like, what are you talking about? You saw Nick Fury. He's been off world for
the past
year.
I'm so surprised they left that plot line dangling.
And then just fucking like left it like that.
Dude,
I'm like, what?
That's a problem. Like, yeah. I love that they established it and referenced it, but they just didn't talk about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Where are we going with that, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wonder.
So that's another thing to kind of, I forgot to mention out there. Okay, I think we're all done. I think I'm all tapped out with Hawkeye right now, too. All right,
guys. That was Unfocused episode 323.
Yes.
We will see. I know normally we don't end on this note, but we appreciate you guys.
Oh, yeah. I guess we'll go ahead and
end the podcast, yeah.
And the spoiler music, because we're off of spoilers now.
Yeah. And Focus Week, more Marvel, more analyzing, more Digimon. That's all I got. AJ?
More Digimon.
Oh, and Stargirl, season 2. AJ?
I'll be out of state. I'll be off world. So I'll
be Thor and Captain Marvel.
Yeah, so I'll be back. I don't know, after the weekend. During the time, I'm not gonna be able to do anything out there. So I'll probably be catching up on Pokemon Shining Pearl, and I bought a bunch of Pokemon cards over the last few months to give to my niece. So I'm probably having some Pokemon battles. I know she's into My Hero, and I just finished opening all my My Hero UFS cards. So I don't know, maybe she'll get into that. We'll see, but and then just hanging out with like, you know, fucking siblings.
Haters.
And yeah, exactly, that too. Listening to some podcasts that I haven't listened to and shit like that during my drive. That's really all I have planned.
I'm focused.
All right, yeah, we are out. What's my button?
Don't forget, this is a Collision 28 production. We're live on twitch.tv/collision28 every
Wednesday.
Also, you can always catch us on youtube.com/unfocusedpodcast to see rebroadcasting of these episodes. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe there as well.
Also, Twitter, you can message us at unfocused28. We also give you updates when the show starts. Instagram at unfocusedpodcast. Subscribe, you know, like.
You can subscribe to our podcast show, The Auto Version, on Apple Podcasts, or just get more information about that on collision28.com.
Or if you have any comments or things you want us to talk about, or maybe things that you feel we missed in the past, email us on unfocusedpodcast@gmail.com.
And then I expect this to be a 2-hour-long podcast without the news. Not surprised at the same time. I'm not sure when I'm going to upload this onto YouTube, thinking about it now, because I'm not going to be here. Trying to figure that out.
It's over!
Don't forget to subscribe!